If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
Wrestling Radio. I am the internet icon, handsome Jackie Jones, along with my right hand man.
1-inch biceps, the power goat. Bah.
And joining us this evening is Baron Von Raschke, the Master of the Claw. We've had him on, I think it was like 2005, so it's been a while. But not happy circumstances here, but we want to talk about the passing of his tag team partner, his friend, Mad Dog Vachon. And I believe the funeral service was yesterday.
That's right. And thank you for having me on. Mad Dog and I went back to the start of my career. He discovered me. I was I broke into the wrestling under Vern Gagne, the famous AWA champion Vern Gagne, also an Olympian and a great wrestler. And I was training with him and Wally Carbo. And Mad Dog came by and he looked at me one time and he says, "You look a good German." Scared me because I was kind of shy and bashful at the time. And he walked away and I'd never met him before and I never saw him for another week. He was flying in and out of territory, only there for TV, I guess. Anyway, he came back the next week, and the only thing he said to me was, "You make a good German!" Every time he said it, I jumped, you know. Anyway, after about 4 or 5 weeks of that, that's all we communicated. After 4 or 5 weeks, he said, "You make a good German!" And I said back to him in my normal voice, "I am German." And I like to tell people, I said, "I am German," but I didn't. I was very, very shy. And he's a scary guy. But anyway, later on, I was setting up the ring and refereeing matches in all the towns. And we got to be, friendly, talking to each other. And he was on the Olympic team in 1948, and he went to London for representing Canada, and he did fairly well. And you know, what do they call it? It was the British Empire Games. He was a British Empire Games champion, a good amateur wrestler, a good background in amateur wrestling. And I had wrestled amateur for quite a few years, represented the U.S. in on two world teams, and I also made the Olympic team, but I didn't go because I got hurt. And by the way, I'm almost over that, so don't bring it up again. Anyway,
what was it?
Yeah,
what do you think it was about you that that he saw something in you. He said, you know, you could be a good German.
Well, he saw that I guess I was tall and I had blonde sidewalls, I guess. Blue eyes, blonde sidewalls. Anyway, I didn't have much hair. He didn't have much hair. We were both just super good-looking guys. Most people would mistake us for George Clooney and Brad Pitt if we were walking down the street together. But anyway, I'm a little taller than he is, maybe a foot taller, and I don't know. He liked me, and I didn't know much. I was just starting out, and as they say in the business, I didn't know a wrist lock from a wrist watch. And so anyway, he said, after a few weeks, he said, you know, Baron, and he didn't call me Baron then, he says, you know, I want to take you up to Canada as my partner, to Quebec, Montreal, Canada, and I want you to be a German. I want you to act like a German, talk like a German. And I said, well, I know some German. I can maybe have an accent. And he said, I'm going to call you Baron von Pumpkin. I said, what? And he was chuckling a little bit. He said, Baron von Pumpkin. I said, no, I don't think that'd be a very good name. I think it's, you know, sounds silly. Anyway, I talked to him out of that. I started out as Baron Fritz von Raschke, and we dropped the Fritz after a while and became Baron von Raschke, and that's how I met Mad Dog, and he turned out to be the greatest mentor there could be, and teacher, and he's been my lifelong friend ever since, and he taught me everything I know about the ins and outs of professional wrestling. Vern Gagne started me, and he showed me the basics, and Mad Dog polished me off to whatever extent I got polished, and under his tutelage, I blossomed and became a pretty decent worker, I guess.
Oh, definitely. When you guys went to Canada and you were his tag partner, how long do you think it took for you guys to like really have chemistry together as a tag team?
It took a whole month to take in one match. For some reason, you know, like I said before, he's a little shorter than I am, and so he's a smaller guy. I'm a bigger guy, and that's a combination. And we both look the way we look, and you know, we're not two pretty boys or anything like that. And we're not handsome by any means, Jack. Anyway, the first time I walked to the ring, the people looked at me, and they were booing and hissing, and I reacted to that. And the more I reacted to it, the more they booed and hissed and got excited. And I had a single match the first night I was there, and you know, with Larry Ogier, and we had a terrific match, more because of my opponent than me, but it was a terrific match. And the people, by the time I left, they really loved Larry, but they really hated me by the end of the match. So he was one of their favorites anyway. Anyway, and during that time, I had I was going to be Mad Dog's partner, so he brought me out to do an interview in front of the crowd. And I was so happy to find out that most of the people up there spoke French. French is their first language. English is their second language. We're more Frenchmen in Quebec than there are English people, I believe. Anyway, and I was very shy on the microphone. I was very quiet, and I used to have interviews here with in Minneapolis with Marty O'Neill when I was starting out, and he'd say, "What did you do to train today?" And he'd use my real name, and I'd say, "Well, Marty, I went out and I ran and I jumped," and it was a total bore. I knew it was bad, and as a matter of fact, Vern Gagne told me it was bad. Wally Carver told me I wasn't too good, and need to work on that. Anyway, when I got in front of those people that didn't speak my language as their language, and I just started talking with a little bit of an accent and a little bit of, like, the Mad Dog. And I started to be able to think and say things, and the interview went fairly well. And from that, it kept growing. And anyway, it helped me gain confidence, and I became the Baron, and the Mad Dog was the Mad Dog. And trust me, he was a Mad Dog. He was a character from the time I met him through the end of his life. There you are.
Was he was he very much like the Mad Dog, you know, outside of the ring?
Only when provoked. You don't take a stick and poke a Mad Dog, you know. But no, he was mostly a very glib person. He read a lot. He was always reading newspapers, and he didn't finish the eighth grade. He dropped out of school before the eighth grade, but he was very well read, and he was very sociable. He liked to talk to people, and he talked to people all the time. And if you met him, and you would have a good time talking to him. He could talk about just about anything, and he was a very, very likable guy.
Now, besides, you know, wrestling with him, did you also travel with him on the road?
Yes, I did. We both chased cars together, as a matter of fact. Yes, he and I traveled when we were partners. We always traveled together, usually by car. Up in Quebec, we traveled by car and by boat because they'd take a boat that goes from one shore to the other.
Ferry.
We'll park our cars in it. A ferry, yes. A ferry. We had to take a ferry from, like, Chicoutimi to Rimouski across the Hudson River way up north, where it's about 20 miles wide. Anyway, we traveled and got to know each other very well. I had just gotten married, and my wife met his first wife and their children, and we just everybody hit it off, and it was good. It was a good time. He and I enjoyed traveling together. And,
a lot of people I've talked to mentioned. Actually, they kind of said he was a total package. He was great in the ring, a great promo guy, and a great character. Do you think that's like a reason for his longevity?
Well, of course, but you know, he was not what you would call an overnight success.
Yes,
he didn't get his big break until 14 years after he started in a business, and that was up in the Oregon territory. He either caused a riot or there was a riot, and he helped it along. And Don Owens, the promoter over there, the police came, and there was chairs were broken, and there was just debris all over, and everybody's yelling and screaming, and the police came, and they sort of got order together, and Don Owens said, "I should fire you. You're like a Mad Dog." and that's where he got the name Mad Dog with Sean. And after that, he became a big sensation up there, and then later on, and wherever he went, he was Mad Dog with Sean, from Maurice Vachon to Mad Dog with Sean.
Mm-hmm. Now, you tagged with him all the time. Did you ever wrestle against him?
Never, no. Nobody asked us to.
Yeah. Now, I know you became, you know, a babyface, a good guy near the end of your career in the AWA. Did you guys prefer...
Wait a minute. I was just misunderstood.
There you go.
The first 15 or so years. To know me is to love me, trust me.
I was always a fan.
Yeah, same as Maurice. Everybody started to love him towards the end, too.
Why do you think that is? Is this when you get to a certain status, the fans are just going to love you?
Well, not necessarily. It's just they get used to you a little bit, and they identify with you a little bit, and eventually they realize that what you're trying to do is the right thing, and what the other guy is trying to do is not the right thing, and that's the way it is. You know, you got to get them to come over to your side a little bit, and then you become a blue eye. Okay.
Exactly. Well, I want to thank you for coming on and telling some stories about Mad Dog.
Yeah. Are we done or what?
Yeah. We can keep going if you like.
Only if you like. I care less.
I like an honest man. Well,
yeah.
I didn't want to ask you.
I was.
Yes, you talked about, you know, because obviously you're the German, you know, the Nazi character, and he had a lot of heat. Did you guys ever get into it with any fans who wanted to be tough guys?
As a matter of fact, that's the thing. Our tag team clicked almost, it clicked immediately. We were wrestling at the time Johnny Russo and Edouard Carpentier a lot, and they were all French-Canadian superstars in wrestling, and Gino Brito and these guys, and the Mad Dog being the Mad Dog and me being the Baron, and the people would go crazy, and usually the Mad Dog loved heat, so he kept letting it build and letting it build and letting it build, and I didn't know any better, so I kept helping him build it and build it, and for 3 months during the summer, the first summer I was there, we had a riot every night wherever we worked. The matches always ended in a riot, you know. It was just, we had to fight our way out of the ring, and we even had a cage match. I think it was in Trois-Rivières. We had a cage match, and they put up the cage, and the baby faces got in the cage, and before we started to come towards the ring, and before we got to the ring, the people got so excited they tore the cage down. It was all knocked down to the floor, and by the time we hit the ring, they were in the ring, and we had to fight our way back. So we had a lot of heat. We had a lot of heat in that territory. Mm-hmm. Later, I learned to control heat, so it wasn't so bad. But
what do you mean by that? Learn how to control the heat.
Well, you know, you can't just keep beating your opponent to a bloody pulp every once in a while. You got to let him take a breath, and if he takes a breath and he gives you a swat or two, and that the people who were kind of moving towards the ring as they do, you whoomp, 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 like Jaws, they start coming at you, coming at you, coming at you. Then you let the guy you're wrestling against get in a few whacks, and he starts whacking you back and knocking you back and flipping you and flopping you and giving you big bumps and little bumps. Then they start to go back, 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 and that's how you do it. You keep them going. You can do it any way you want if you learn how to do it. I didn't know, and he didn't care, so he was just having fun, and I thought I was having fun too. I didn't know any better.
Yeah. Who were some of the other teams you like to work with?
I never met a team I didn't like to work with. So.
Okay.
I love to work, and I was very fortunate to work with mostly very, very good, accomplished opponents. I liked them all.
Were you happy with the AWA, the legacy of AWA DVD that WWE put out? Or did you not?
Probably something I haven't seen.
I guess I should have asked that first.
The check must be in the mail. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I'm sure I would be happy with it if it's, you know, all they can do is show wrestling and talk about it. So I don't pay that much attention to it. So
yeah, it came out a few years ago. So
yeah,
I know the funeral service was yesterday. Was it mostly friends and family, or was there a lot of his colleagues that showed up?
There were a few wrestlers there. Myself, Greg Gagne was there. Jim Brunzel was there. A couple of boxers, Ron Stander, who fought Joe Frazier for the World Championship. He's from the Omaha Council Bluffs area. He and Mad Dog became good friends later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, there are three or four other wrestlers there. And a lot of fans, and it was quite a turnout. It was,
mm-hmm.
He even draws when he's dead. So.
Sorry for laughing, but that is a...
Oh, well, yeah, that's okay. But if I didn't laugh, I'd cry. So.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
No. Greg might be calling in a little bit tonight. He's at work. So, but anyway, what was your guys' relationship with like Vern Gagne? It seems like very straight laced, and Mad Dog's kind of crazy. Did they get along well?
Kind of like oil and water. I don't know. I don't know. our relationship with him. I mean, my relationship with Vern was, you know, he was very good to me at the beginning. He started me in the business. Without him, I wouldn't have been in the business. And without him and with Mad Dog, I would probably never have been the Baron and, you know, as successful as I was, however successful that was. Anyway, but he was, Vern was in a position where he was our boss. And, we got along with him like you get along with your boss, I suppose. You know, you do what he says, is try to do it to the best of your ability, and maybe he'll leave you alone. If not, you'll probably be mad. And I hear about it. And then you'll probably go to another territory, and,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you'll come back, and maybe you won't. You know? But I could leave, and I could always come back to work in the AWA, and I know Mad Dog could leave and always come back to the AWA. So I guess we had a good working relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do thank you for coming on, and we are going to wrap up this time. I'm sorry for the...
You're trying to get rid of me again.
We are going to have a Mean Gene on soon. Do you have any words for Mean Gene?
Just tell him that the Baron said, go Big Red, there's always next year. And he'll understand that. You tell him I said it. That's all he needs to know. Mean Gene Okerlund, yeah. He's from Nebraska, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That was
and so am I. So that's West Germany.
Ah.
About as far west as they were planning to go. But anyway.
We do appreciate coming on, and it's very very nice to talk to you. Even if it's
okay. Keep your eyes open for the movie. It'll be out next spring.
I forget. Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. I've got emails about that. And now, is this going to be a theatrical movie or?
It's going to be a hybrid movie, super duper movie. I don't know what it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
I just show up and I do what I do. You know,
mm-hmm.
George Clooney was busy, so they had to get somebody else handsome to play my part.
Yeah.
So they got me.
Well,
anyway, George Clooney was busy, and Brad Pitt was on another project, so they settled for me. Anyway, yeah, it'll probably be out next spring, but it's going to be out, and it's the people who are doing it are very good, so could be interesting.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
And the people can check my website, Baron Von Raschke. That what it is? You probably know better than I do.
Yes, it is. And we'll have the link right up on the website in case people out there can't spell.
All right.
And they can just click.
Okay. Are we done?
We are done now, yes.
Give me a flex there, 1 inch.
Ah.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Hurting myself.
Like that.
Hurting myself.
Yeah. Okay, Handsome Jack.
Thank you. I said maybe you could take Incher under your wing, and he could be the new Master of the Claw. With those 1-inch biceps.
Well, I'm sure he could be the Pinch. But it takes years to learn the Claw.
The Master of the Pinch. I like that.
There you go.
All right.
Okay,
thank
we're
you,
off.
Okay. I can relax now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Maurice says, you know, his, one of his favorite expressions was, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And you know what? I think he's probably right. But now he's in heaven, and it's a much better place. So, that is all the people need to know.
This is Greg Gagne, and you're listening to In Your Head, online.com.
All right, we're here with Danny Hodge, and I'd like to know some of your memories of working with the late Mad Dog Vachon.
Hey, he was mad and terrific.
He lived up to the name?
Yes, sir.
Now, I actually saw that you guys worked a boxing match together. What was that like?
Well, he got a couple of good punches,
mm-hmm.
but I put him out in the third round.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you're a guy you don't want to test toughness with, but how would you rank Mad Dog?
I would put him right up the top.
Mm-hmm.
He was a heck of a wrestler, heck of a guy.
Yeah, what was he like outside of the ring?
I never met him outside.
Really? I guess back in those days, they separated everybody?
He was in Minneapolis, and I was in Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And when I wrestled up in Minneapolis, I had to wrestle him. And also out in Colorado. he was a tough cookie.
Uh-huh. Now, a lot of people have been talking about that he was really a total package, like he was a good wrestler, and he could also cut great promos, was a great character. Do you think that's what made him last so long, the longevity in wrestling?
I think so.
What were some, do you have a particular favorite match with him?
Well, probably the toughest match was up in Minneapolis. But I think I wrestled him up in Colorado. And I think in Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the heat like when you would wrestle with Mad Dog Vachon from the fans?
Do what?
What was the heat like from the fans? Was he a really hated guy amongst the fans?
Well, of course, fans didn't care for his style of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I, if I was talented as he was, I'd probably been the same way.
A lot of people I've talked to, I just talked to Dick Beyer, and he said that, you know, he portrayed like a crazy guy in the ring, you know, like a tough guy, but he was also, you know, grounded as like a really great wrestler. He was in the Olympics. And could you see that?
Oh, yeah. You could feel the style in him.
Mm-hmm.
He had the moves. Well, I can say he was also probably one of the toughest ones that I ever wrestled.
Mm-hmm.
He had strength. He had knowledge. He had conditioning. He was there for the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Had I not been in shape, also in wrestling, and of course, I won the National Golden Gloves too.
Mm-hmm.
So I could go either way also.
Mm-hmm.
But he got some good punches too.
Uh-huh. So
I still feel them.
So neither of you were intimidated by the other?
No, I was world junior heavyweight champion, and I was here to meet everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like we've got a fire here somewhere in Perry.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I want to thank you for talking to me for a few minutes, and enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Well, hey, thank you, and God bless.
You as well.
Hi, this is Larry Nelson. You're listening to WrestlingInYourHead.com, and keep doing it.
All right, we're here with Ox Baker. We want to ask you about some memories of a Mad Dog Vachon.
You know, one of the true gentlemen in wrestling and a legend was Mad Dog Vachon.
Mm-hmm.
He was the type of a guy, even though he had a terrible accident 6 or 8 years ago and had his leg tore off, he never let himself get down. He always had that smile on his face. He was a true gentleman, and in the ring, he was surpassed by nobody. Mad Dog will always remember by the guys that knew him around. Like, he's a legend right now. Mm-hmm. And Mad Dog, wherever you're at, I want to tell you, like I've said, a lot of other legends, Ox Baker's going to miss you. I always look forward to seeing you at some meeting, some convention, and the world is sad tonight because of a great human being and a great, great wrestler. And like I said, Mad Dog was a legend.
Thanks for taking this few minutes.
My pleasure.
This is Larry Zbyszko, and I recommend listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
We're here with Nick Bockwinkel, legendary AWA champion, and we wanted to find out some of the memories of another legendary AWA wrestler, Mad Dog Vachon.
The Mad Dog was physically, he ran around 220, 225, 230. Hell of a fighter. He cut his own path. He would have maintained it as a character.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless.
What was it about him that, you know, that made him so special and had such longevity?
The fact that he loved what he did, and it was just one of those things where you don't fool with the Mad Dog.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of legendary stories about him outside of wrestling, fighting people who wanted to question, the validity of wrestling. Were you ever witnessed any of those?
No, not necessarily, because sometimes the image gets bigger than the person.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the same time, this was the person. The image, as far as I was concerned, he fulfilled every step along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And Butcher was one person. Mad Dog was just an absolute real life. If you wanted to take him like right now, my little doggy has just jumped up in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea what the Mad Dog. he set his own tempo.
Mm-hmm.
And he cut his own path, and most of the people butt heads up against him or whatever it might have been. He was respected.
Mm-hmm.
Without any question, as far as his talent, his style, and his class was all his own.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't deny him one ounce of space, because if you wanted a complete rugged son of a bitch, if I may use the expression,
yes, sure.
And he would be the man.
Mm-hmm. And you're both classic bad guys, totally different. You're the kind of like what you think of as a champion, and as just you said, he was like the rugged son of a bitch. Did you guys ever wrestle each other?
I am sure we did. I don't remember at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many hundreds of matches.
Oh, yeah.
That, so we'd all forget if we bounced on our heads as many times as we did.
Mm-hmm. This was he a guy you ever traveled with?
I did, but that was in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We happened to go to Japan at about the same time, so that we were under, so to speak, their umbrella, and. So they, over there, it was all one gracious team, and we were wrestling most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
the Japanese. And the Mad Dog, one thing for sure, well, he wasn't that big physically in stature,
mm-hmm.
but he was really, I mean, his expression goes, I am the Mad Dog. Don't fool with me because you're going to have a long, miserable night, no matter how you put it. I mean, that's me trying to imitate him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. A great promo.
Oh yeah. And the reason for that was because it was real.
Mm-hmm.
The Mad Dog. He said it the way it was, the way he wanted to say it. In that respect, like I say, you don't fool with the Mad Dog, sir. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. It's a great combination, a great character, a great talker, and been a great wrestler in the ring.
Absolutely, yeah. No question about it.
When was the last time you had any contact with Mad Dog?
Oh goodness gracious! I was still wrestling and had the opportunity to go up to Montreal,
mm-hmm.
because he was French Canadian and dedication. Back to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't the Dog. That's all I commented.
I just want to thank you for taking a few minutes and sharing some memories of Mad Dog Vachon. It's very much appreciated.
All righty.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You take care.
Thank you. You as well.
This is Shawn Michaels, former WWE Superstars, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com.
All right, now we're joined by the Destroyer. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, it's a.
I'm sitting in a winter wonderland.
Mm. Where are you right now?
I live in Akron, New York,
mm-hmm.
Adjacent to my golf course that I opened this past June. I have a golf course that has 18 holes. And it's played with one ball and one club.
Nice.
I brought it back from Japan.
Mm. That's
anyway.
Yeah.
We got a foot of snow here,
mm-hmm.
and we couldn't play if we wanted to, even if we had black balls.
Yeah. Sad news here. The passing of a Mad Dog Vachon, and real character in wrestling, and someone that you've had a lot of history with. And where was the first place you wrestled Mad Dog?
I wrestled Mad Dog the first place in Hawaii.
Why?
In 1954, 55, 56.
Mm-hmm. Was he the Mad Dog at that point?
He was, he wasn't Mad Dog then. He was Maurice Vachon, and I was Dick Beyer.
Mm-hmm.
I wrestled him as Maurice Vachon, and he was a heel, a villain, and I was a babyface in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my first matches in Hawaii. And then when I left Hawaii, I became a villain. And he was a babyface. You know, those things happen in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then we left. And sitting in the audience was Don Owens, who was a good friend of the promotion in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The next time Mad Dog wrestled, he wrestled in Oregon, and I went to Los Angeles. The promoter in Los Angeles wanted to call me and put a mask on and call me the Destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
So I became the Destroyer, and Mad Dog went up to, or Maurice Vachon went to Oregon, and Don Owens up there gave him the name of Mad Dog. and he became Mad Dog Vachon and became a villain the rest of his life. And I became the Destroyer, not the rest of my life, because I wrestled in other places as a different name.
Mm-hmm. Were you more comfortable as the villain or the hero?
Well, I feel more comfortable as the villain because, and I think Mad Dog is the same way. Both of us were very good wrestlers. Mad Dog Vachon was on the Japanese or the Canadian Olympic team, maybe in 1948, 49, 50, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I wrestled as an amateur at Syracuse and went on to do some very good in amateur wrestling. And so I could wrestle. And so could the Mad Dog. Mm-hmm. But I wrestled him in Oregon. It was the Mad Dog and the Destroyer. Mm-hmm. And we worked as a tag team partner at some time. But I also wrestled against Mad Dog in the Toronto territory. I also wrestled against Mad Dog in Montreal, mm-hmm. and also his brother Paul Vachon. Mm-hmm. But the one match that I can remember that would be good for your radio show is I'm wrestling the Mad Dog in his hometown, and I think it was Chicoutimi or one of those smaller towns in Canada, and maybe if you talk to somebody, they'll get the correct town. Uh-huh. But I was wrestling against him in the town that he was his hometown. Mm-hmm. So naturally, in his hometown, the Mad Dog was Mad Dog Maurice Vachon, and he was a baby face. He was a So when he got in the middle of the ring, he says, the Mad Dog says to me, we got to give them a barn burner here. They expect that we're going to knock the hell out of each other. So we started out the match wrestling, and then all of a sudden it was kick, stomp, throw out of the ring. Out of the ring I went. Mad Dog come out. He hit me with a chair, and out the aisle we went. We ended up in the dressing room, fighting. Mm-hmm. And I yelled at Mad Dog, there's no people here. It's just the boys. Let's get the hell out of the arena. So we went out into the arena, and anyway, we finished off the match. I assume we got counted out or something with chairs and so forth. But we gave them what Mad Dog wanted. He wanted a barn burner, and we gave him a barn burner. But Mad Dog, I think, carried it a little bit too far.
What was the difference between wrestling when you guys were just, Maurice Vachon and Dick Byer, as opposed to wrestling each other when you were the Destroyer and the Mad Dog?
There's not a lot of difference. We both of us always wrestled. When I was a villain, I wrestled, and I used my wrestling moves, plus I used my stuff that got the people a little disturbed. Mm-hmm. And Mad Dog was very similar. And that's one of the reasons, I think, that we lasted as long as we did in pro wrestling, mm-hmm. that we wrestled along with being a villain and or a baby face.
Yeah. That's something that's come up a lot in the people I've talked to is the longevity of Mad Dog, and yourself.
He was also very good on the mic.
Yes.
And I always considered myself pretty decent on the mic. You know, we could get our point across. We could get the people mad at us on a microphone. We could get the people mad at us while we were wrestling, and then they could, we get the point across that we could wrestle because we always weren't dirty or.
What was Mad Dog like outside of the ring?
He was a great guy. He tried to play cribbage, but I used to beat him all the time. I'm kidding. We played a lot of cards. Mad Dog and his brother and I used to go to different clubs. His brother was a very good singer, country, western, or popular. Mad Dog couldn't sling a lick or sing a lick, but I always had a lot of fun with Mad Dog. Traveled with him, went to Japan with him. I was in Hawaii with him, Oregon with him, Montreal with him. So I had a lot of experience with the Mad Dog Michonne.
Mm-hmm. Just real quick, what was traveling with Mad Dog like?
I didn't travel that much with him.
Mm-hmm.
He always had his brother and or he had his friends. But I was with him in Japan and, you know, I was with him a lot.
Right.
But we didn't travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But Mad Dog was a great guy and I shed a few tears when I found out a couple of nights ago that he passed away.
Yeah, that, as far as
we there was a fella in, you should call the fella who used to set up the ring in Minneapolis, and he was a referee. His name is Kenny J.
Hmm.
And Kenny J likes to play cribbage, too. And the Mad Dog stayed at his house a lot. And every once in a while, I would stay at the house, and I would have to get permission to use the Mad Dog's room.
Well, I want to thank you all for, you know, taking a few minutes and sharing some stories of Mad Dog.
Okay.
And we'd love to have you back sometime and maybe tell some other stories and talk about your book that's out there.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
And enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
This is the Rocker Marty Jannetty, and you're listening to IYHWrestling.com.
All right, and now we're joined by Mean Gene Okerlund. It's really just a man. But I'd like to ask you some of your memories of working with Mad Dog Vachon.
Well, they were truly some of my greatest memories because, you know, so many classic interviews came out of... You know, I would say the guys from that genre, you know, mm-hmm. from back in the, well, it's kind of old school, but, you know, the interviews you did with Mad Dog, Crusher, I mean, even Vern Gagne, those ended up being classics, but, Mad Dog was probably the consummate interview guy, whether was it behind a cage or was in a workshop trying to construct a coffin or whatever it happened to be, he was a classic mm-hmm. in every sense of the word.
When you were doing those type of interviews, how much of it was like planned out ahead of time and how much of it was just
nothing, gentlemen, please. All that was done totally, I would say spontaneously. And, that's kind of what the magic of it was. You were creating on the run. As, the great comedian Jerry Lewis would say, I mean, that's kind of how it happened. It just kind of exploded in front of you. And, the interviews with Mad Dog Vachon, I would have to say were no exception. And he was such a classic because you wouldn't have to say a whole lot for him to respond. You could even just give him a little nod, and he would come back at you and,
let me tell you something, my friend.
So there we go.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever, I know I've seen some back in the AWA days where you someone, like, especially with Dr. D. David Schultz, where you couldn't help yourself but laugh a little bit. Did that ever happen with Mad Dog?
Never really. I never was given the latitude, if you will, mm-hmm. with Maurice to do anything like that. If you would have done that, I'm sure it would have whacked you down. And not that Dr. David Schultz or something, but some of the things became, as this thing morphed into a new era of professional wrestling and entertainment, became a little more wide open. Mm-hmm. Back in the old days, that was not the case. Mm-hmm. It was pretty strict, and it was definitely on an old school basis.
Mm-hmm. Now, how much of the Mad Dog was he in real life? Was he that character, you know, on camera and off camera?
I don't think you could really draw a line in his personality between the on camera or in ring character and the real life character of Maurice Vachon, because he was certainly kind of lead that kind of a lifestyle outside of the ring, as he did inside the ring and behind the camera.
Mm-hmm.
He was what he was, and I mean that's it. I can't say a whole lot about the guy that would not be complimentary, number one, but number two, that he wouldn't have been the real deal, because he was.
Mm-hmm. Everyone we've talked to has said he's very well respected and really has no one has anything bad to say about him, which is very rare in the wrestling business.
Well, I mean, how are you going to put the bad mouth on this guy?
Yeah.
Back in the old days, he would have gone right for your throat. But in the meantime, I think what everybody has said about him is what it is. I mean, he was kind of a favorite of mine, and I think he was a favorite of the boys in the locker room. And certainly, even though the fans at one time or another probably hated him vehemently,
mm-hmm.
he ended up being kind of the guy that they loved to hate.
Mm-hmm. Now, I did mention earlier about Dr. D. David Schultz, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but those interviews have taken on like a life of their own now with YouTube. They're all over the place. And what would like Vern Gagne do? Would he be mad at you when you would start to laugh during an interview? I know it didn't happen very often, but
well, I don't know if he'd be mad or not. You know, because to tell you the truth, I think at that particular time we were transitioning into entertainment. So those interviews, all of a sudden, became not only a sell for the card, but became part of the entertainment mechanism for the television show itself. So I think therein kind of lies the truth and the secret to what it was all about. Mm-hmm. It was indeed, you know, entertaining, I hope. And on the other hand, I think it kind of told a story for, you know, what was to come. The storylines, as they are today portrayed, take kind of a very quick instant. Whereas back then, those storylines, you could have guys like Nick Bockwinkel and Vern Gagne work for years. You could have the High Flyers work with, you know, tag teams like Pat Patterson and his partner, the great Ray the Crippler Stevens. That thing could go on for a year or two when you took it across the board in all of the markets. So that, in my estimation, was kind of the name of the game, and that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, no. I want to ask you quick about the. You mentioned the promo with the cage in front of him. Now, you were at both in AWA with, like, the traditional mesh cage, and then WWF had the big blue cage. Did you have a preference?
Are you kidding me? Hell no, I didn't have a preference. I was on the outside of the cage. They were on the inside.
It's kind of a big debate here between me and my coach, the one-inch biceps, the big blue cage.
I think Gene was leaning towards the blue.
Yeah, you may want to buy your associate a cocktail. A cold refreshment.
I would appreciate that. Now, I know me and Gene doesn't have a lot of time here, so we have to let him go, but hopefully we can get him back on sometime and talk to him about some more professional wrestling.
Well, gentlemen, you are acknowledging, of course, one of the all-time greats in Maurice Mad Dog Michon. So I wanted to be part of your program tonight. And what can we say? We have lost a classic. He certainly was certainly an endearing member of the wrestling fraternity. And I'd just like to say, Mad Dog Michon was a very dear, close, personal, long-time friend of mine. He was very special.
Everyone we talked to, you can really see that everyone's very saddened that he's gone, and everyone says nothing but great things about him. And you can really tell that he's very well-respected amongst all the wrestlers. So we're really happy to be coming on.
Nothing goes on forever, and, I wish both you and I could stay here and be kind of planted on this earth forever. But that's not the way it is. And we eventually are going to lose all of us, but it's on to the next world, wouldn't you say?
I believe so. I believe so. Well, I wish you a happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Okerlund.
Yes. You like turkey?
I do like turkey.
Good. Forget about it. I don't eat it. I eat pork chops. But I appreciate the call, and throughout the wrestling world, hasta la vista, que sera, que sera.
Excellent. Thank you for coming on.
You're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. This is Playboy Buddy Rose, and if you want to hear the best wrestlers and the best wrestling stories, stay tuned every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Western time, InYourHeadOnline.com to get the best wrestling history stories ever told, past, present, and future.
All right, and we're back once again here on In Your Head, and a big thank you to Nick Bockwinkle, Ox Baker, Danny Hodge, Baron Von Raschke, The Destroyer, Dick Beyer, and me, Gene Okerlund, for coming on to pay tribute to Mad Dog Michon.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Very good. There it is. And it's possible some of the people I asked will call in the show. But for now, Inster.
Yes, sir.
We're going to talk about some wrestling.
I love talking the wrestling, and I love talking Monday Night Raw.
Before we get to that, doing the wish everyone out there a happy Thanksgiving. It's tomorrow. And this is a limerick that I wrote in sixth grade English class in Bellevue's Bunker. They called it Bellevue's Bunker, Inter. And I'm sorry, Tazzo, for veering off wrestling for a moment. But it was down in the basement. It was at this time, my town only had one elementary school right after I left sixth grade. Then they had three to spread one out. They're running out of room. So they would stick us anywhere they could find us, and Bellevue's Bunker was stuck in a room that had no windows and one door. And so we called it Bellevue's Bunker.
Ah. Let's hear it.
So, there once was a turkey named Ted. All he did was lay in bed. He said he was sick, but the farmer knew it was a trick. And now he's Thanksgiving dinner instead.
Yeah.
I believe I got an A. An A plus.
That teacher was a mark for Jackie Jones.
Sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Venture.
Yes, sir.
There was a big pay-per-view this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
One of what they refer to as the top four.
The top four.
Mm-hmm. The big four, which is WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series, because these were the original four pay-per-views back when they did quarterly pay-per-views, and so they're referred to as the big four. Now, I've got to say, since SummerSlam, the WWF pay-per-views have just gone to shit. There was a Battleground was awful. There was Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I believe that was in there.
It was terrible. I think there was one other one. They're all very bad, very poor. And then so I figured, well, you had all these poor pay-per-views.
Yes.
Different into this. But no, I would say a fourth pay-per-view in a row that was shit. This was very boring. A dull, boring pay-per-view.
I don't think it bothered me as much as it bothered you, but it was pretty nothing happening. Like, there wasn't any, like, I guess there was one title change, and that was about it.
You're really lenient with these pay-per-views because they have been awful.
I don't know. It just didn't bother me too much, but I don't think it was great or anything.
I mean, you and Extreme Falls and Mickey McMarkelson on the Facebook page, you are the only three people in, like, the known world that defend these pay-per-views lately.
I'm not necessarily defending it, but I just didn't mind it as much. I mean, there wasn't any match that really grabbed me. Nothing was really setting my world on fire, but nothing really bothered me too much, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a pay-per-view that costs $55 now. It's like you build up to this big event. Something should grab you. If nothing grabs you, then it's bad. It's just like you might as well just watch Raw, which is not good either. The opening match, well, there was a match on the pre-show. It was like Kofi versus Miz, and just the same match you see a million times, Miz and Kofi. The opening match was by far the best match on the show. The 5-on-5 Survivor Series match.
Hmm. Was this the one that had the Shield in it?
Yes.
Yeah, it was the Shield with, there was two people with it, the Real Americans.
Mm.
And then it was,
the Usos,
yeah.
The Rooks, and the Return of Rey Mysterio.
There you go.
Who's that jumping out the sky? R-U-Y! Mysterio! Here we go! He really ain't jumping out of the sky anymore, though.
Did you when they set up this match? Oh, the heels was losing for the most part, and that's kind of like backwards how they normally book a Survivor Series.
But it was really designed to get Reigns over, Roman Reigns over. This guy is gonna. I like all of the Shield, to be honest. Ambrose is really my guy, but I really like all of them. And I will say, when they first debuted, I was not a big Black fan from Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Black, he really won me over in the Shield. And Reigns, I thought, was the guy they just stuck in there because he was big. But honestly, he's very good. He has a good look. Not only is he a big guy, he can work, and he's got charisma. So I just hope. I could see him being the star when they break him up and stuff, but I hope that they don't forget the other two.
Definitely. Yeah, I hope they don't just try to push this guy, Reigns, and just make him like the big guy out of the group. Kind of like you were saying, but they say that WWE's kind of taking like a new direction where they're only going to try to push a lot of the bigger guys. from what I heard. So I guess Reigns would be the biggest guy in that group, so he gets the push.
Oh, yeah. Well, he definitely has... He's got the look of all three, for sure.
Hmm. I think Ambrose has a good look as well. He kind of has that crazy Jack Nicholson look.
Yeah, I think Ambrose, to me, is the total package of the group. He's a great promo guy. He's got this weird... got this weird charisma about him, and when you watch him in any of the promos, he's always doing a little something, which it's just he's good. He's just a good all-around guy.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of him before he ever came to the WWE, so I'm really happy to see him doing well. He was the first guy eliminated in this match.
Yeah, that was kind of a shame, but how they were booking it, they were trying to, you know, get the, you know, putting Reigns over as the guy who pulled out the big win in the end. Mm-hmm. And it was funny watching Mysterio get pinned and then how they were, like, browbeating him afterwards. They're kind of doing, like the sobbing kind of face because Mysterio is looking at him like, it's my big return here. I'm supposed to be winning this thing. And like, no. Well, actually, I think Reigns, though, kind of showed a little bit of respect towards him, so. Maybe I just made that all up.
Yeah, he went out and he hugged the man.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's weird because you really think of Reigns as a big guy, but if you see pictures of him and The Rock, who's like his cousin, The Rock towers over him. He's like 6 inches taller and just much more massive. It's very weird. It's just, I think, it's a... So many of these guys aren't as big as you think anymore. Like Ryback is like, you think of him as this monster, but he's not that big.
Mm-hmm.
And Big E's like very short.
If they do have a Ryback-Goldberg match, people are going to really see how much bigger Goldberg is than Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Who would possibly care about that match when Ryback never wins? He's lost... like 2 years of matches, and he loses every week on Raw. I think he beat Kali the other night, but besides that, he just loses.
So, Goldberg, I understand you have yourself a little bit of a streak back in WCW. Well, I have my streak here in WWE. I lose every match. Would Goldberg be impressed by that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would just care just because they've been chanting Goldberg at the guy for so long, so.
It was really loud on Raw this week.
Yeah.
So Ryback had a surprise match on this pay-per-view versus Mark Henry. Why is Mark Henry a babyface? When he left, the last angle he did was he lied to the fans and called them idiots, and then... Now he just comes back inexplicably, and he's a babyface.
Well, he shaved his head, so he's bald now. We're supposed to like him. You like the new head shave? You think he looks good like that?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
I actually like it.
It looks weird with the big beard and the no hair.
It's a little off-putting, but, you know, Mark Henry, he's going to be off-putting no matter what. But... I kind of liked it. I just thought it's better than those big old dreadlocks that he had before. And I imagine he's thinning a little bit nowadays. He's getting up there in the age. So he probably just needs to shave the head.
Yeah, I don't know. I know some people, they basically just, like, jizz themselves over Mark Henry. Like, our chat room just went ballistic. But he does not interest me.
Well, that segment where he turned on John Cena after he was saying he was going to retire, that had to be the best stuff he's ever done. And yeah. I just, like, if a man like that can pull that off, there's got to be another one of those segments in him.
Yeah, but then you got to watch him have a match.
Yeah, and that's the bad part. But... he seems like he has a bit of a new fire about him where he's not so boring as he was back in the days. Like, his match was pretty quick. And the one he had on Raw was pretty quick as well.
It was this. I thought this was a pitiful match. Mark Henry, Ryback.
Yeah. It was kind of fast, though. I mean,
I guess.
Ryback lost this one as well, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he never wins. Never wins.
You can take that one to the bank. He's lost.
Uh-huh.
He loses every match.
There was another Survivor Series match was probably the worst Survivor Series match in the history of wrestling.
Yeah, the Bellas, they've taken to doing a reverse worm, and they call it just the worm. It's not the worm, though.
Mm.
It's the worm, like, being rewound.
This was god-awful. It was like, I think there was 12 eliminations in 6 minutes. And then it was like, then it was Tamina just like beating up JoJo for a while. And it was bad.
Yes, I have no defense for this match.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone does besides Extreme Falls on the Facebook page. He thought it was good. I think if you defend that match, then you can just not be taken seriously. Because, I mean, honestly, I could work a better match.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I think that all the 90% of the chat room could go out there and wrestle a better match.
I don't
get pinned. They wouldn't even do half. Didn't even do moves. Eva Marie just walked in into a move and was pinned, and then walked out smiling.
I'm sure that was done by design, because her wrestling isn't a very good thing.
It's awful.
Yes.
Total shits. What else was on this pay-per-view?
What else was on the pay-per-view? If you give me a minute, I'm sure I could tell you what was in it.
Theo and John Cena. Just a match I could not care about. Who gives a shit about either guy?
Well,
oh, my God.
I thought they were taking a right direction whenever they were on Monday Night Raw, before John Cena turned and became Superman once again. It had me interested, and then it was just like, no, I'm not interested again. It's John Cena just being the Superman. And they had like a little vignette before the match where John Cena was talking to his doctor, talking about how he thinks he'll be all right if he doesn't wear the armband or the brace or whatever. That was on this pay-per-view, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, I guess they were just, you know, working up to, like, John Cena really getting his arm hurt, but that didn't happen at all. He just pretty much went through the match, and he was fine. I guess Alberto was working on it a little bit, but never was an angle where, like, his arm got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll do that at a later date. I don't know. But, Yeah, I guess you can't really necessarily care about the match. So, like I said, it didn't bother me, but yeah, didn't care.
It was bad. Bad times.
There's no in-between with you. It's either bad or good.
It wasn't good.
It just wasn't good.
No.
Okay.
This is bad. This was a bad pay-per-view. Boredom. It was just a mass of boredom. Even you know, I will say they had a better match on Raw. The Wyatts and Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. But this was like the least amount of heat I've heard for a Daniel Bryan CM Punk match in a long time. Besides the Yes Chance, it was pretty lifeless.
Yeah. Daniel Bryan.
Am I talking to Jimmy Jam here?
I'm trying to remember something that, from the match.
Nothing. It was just boring.
Well, I know. Well, was that on Raw when they took him away? I think it was.
The Raw match was a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think they did as much as they could, but it's just two big goofs. And it was just so obvious. Daniel Bryan is so much more over than the guys in the main event. Then you're in a big show.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure.
Why is he in this tag match? And the friggin' Big Show's in the main event. Now, you couldn't have liked that, Big Show and Orton. That was just total boredom.
That one was a pretty big stinker. You know, it's not main event worthy.
No!
Orton's just, he's just slow nowadays. And Big Show, well, I'm not sure if he's ever been fast. Maybe when he was playing, like, high school basketball. Not nowadays. That was, like, damn near 25 years ago. Bad stuff. BS. BS, Shaheen. Bad stuff.
And they came out at the beginning of the pay-per-view, Triple H and Stephanie, like, there will be no interference, no physical interference. So they come out, and they just walk out there. And this is enough for Big Show to just be a total dumbass. Turn its head, get destroyed, get pinned. What enough of this? All this months, they did this big, there's like 4 months of Daniel Bryan being destroyed. He still loses. And while they're doing that, they're building up the Big Show. And he loses.
That's
what I see. The Big Show is the champion. I don't know. I guess I'd probably really see Randy Orton. Not that I want to see him as champion. For him.
Damn.
And then he teased the unification match, which people. It's not really a mean engagement. They're saying it is. I don't know. I hope so. Unification match. One title.
Are you happy that this is finally happening, or?
Yes. I think it should be a bigger angle. It should be a big, giant build.
Yeah.
It's like 12 years of build. It's just like, oh, now we're doing it.
Yeah, John Cena just came out at the end of the pay-per-view and just kind of held up his title, smiling, and Randy Orton just kind of stared him down, and it's like, well, okay, I guess here we go. So, yeah, there wasn't much of a build at all towards this. And then they have a little promo on Monday Night Raw. Yeah. Seems like it should be a much bigger deal. Mm-hmm. It seemed like Michael Cole was the only one on Monday Night Raw who was trying to make it somewhat of a big deal. And that's not a good thing.
Bad stuff. I guess it's going to be a ladder match where both titles are up on the top. They're going to climb up and grab them.
That's the way real wrestlers do it. grab a title.
Unification of the two titles, the two world titles that you've had for 12 years now, or 13 years, whatever. And you're finally going to put them together. And this is how you do it. Not just, you know, whoever's a better wrestler. It's a climb the ladder, grab the belts.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of lame.
Yeah, it is pretty lame.
I see a lot of people saying that they think the ending is going to be they're both going to climb the ladder. Cena is going to grab his old belt, or we'll grab Cena's belt, and they're just going to switch titles. Just so they can get the meaningful belt on Cena. Mm-hmm. That would be horrible. That would be god awful.
Yeah, I definitely want to see these titles merge together and just be done with the whole two titles angles. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need a champion on SmackDown and a champion on Raw. They don't even follow that standard anymore.
No, it's bad. If you're going to do that, have the U.S. belts and the IC belt, and then just have one world title one. But it's bad. They don't need an IC belt, the U.S. belt either. I don't think they even really need either belt.
Hmm.
That was another match was on here. It was the rematch of Axel Rotten and
now Axel Rotten is a wrestler, so you might want to switch it up to something else.
What is his name, Axel? I honestly forget.
Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel.
You honestly forget? That was your guy you were behind.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't remember before the poor guy's name.
He's gotten better. But he's still hopeless. But Well, I have seen this match 3 times now. They had it on Raw, then they had a rematch on the pay-per-view, then a rematch on Raw again. I don't need to see them wrestle ever again.
I thought it was Mark Henry and Big E.
Oh, right, it was a tag team. Yeah. Oh, God. What a tag team. People like this guy. Big E Langston and Tazo the Greek loves him. Brian Alvarez thinks he's the best. Meltzer's like gushing over him.
Mm-hmm.
What do they see in this guy? Am I missing something? Joe loves him.
I don't know. It was kind of funny seeing him cut his promo and then he was like totally pandering towards the crowd. But that was when the pay-per-view, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it's kind of like he was stealing like Mick Foley's gimmick. I mean, you know, I wasn't hee-hauling or nothing. But,
yeah, it was like done to the nth degree and it wasn't not funny. He needs a new haircut. He looks like Kid and Play or something. I don't know. He's got like this nice haircut.
Uh-huh.
And he's like 5'6", and like 5'6" wide. He's like a square. Maybe he could do like some kind of square gimmick where he's like a. What would he be? A cube?
Oh, that guy needs to be known as Roadblock.
Roadblock's a good one. Maybe they could do like a Tetris gimmick where they could get like a real tall guy with like a big head and like this guy, and he could be like just the block. And they could play the Tetris music where in the ring. How's that go? You probably know.
It will probably make people actually watch because that music's like hypnotizing.
Yes!
It's like dun 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 dun. Yeah.
That would be good.
Yes, sir.
Big E Langston. Fucking big. So I say thumbs down to this pay-per-view. Thumbs down, down, down.
Way down. And if you didn't get enough out of the Divas match on the pay-per-view, you got it again on Monday Night Raw. It was basically the same match.
Yeah, it was slightly better,
but
it was still like shit. I mean, the shit was still drizzling, but not quite as hard.
I did like seeing Summer Rae, like, trying to mimic the worm a little bit, and then she's just kind of writhing on the ground. I thought that was kind of funny.
No rhythm.
No.
I could probably do that worm that she did.
Yeah. What do you think about Summer Rae?
Yeah.
Come on. You gotta have a little bit more of an opinion than just, yeah.
Sounds like a brand of douche.
So that's your opinions on Summer Rae?
Yeah.
That's Mrs. Fandango, Jack.
She's got nice legs. I saw Dwayne was like just praising her on the message board over at IYHWrestling.com. He's like, she was saying she's great. Like, she's a great worker, a great character. Nah, I don't see it.
I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say great.
Got nice legs.
But I'm kind of taking the Layla approach that I have in the past.
Layla is completely not over.
No, she's not over, but I'm saying Summer Rae tries. Like, some of the matches she's been in, it looks like she's putting forth an effort.
Did she do one move in either of these matches?
No, well, this one's a lot elimination type of deal, but I've seen her in the past where she's actually wrestling, she wrestled Natalya, and it looked like they're putting together some sort of a match.
Yeah. So. How about JoJo?
Now, JoJo, yeah, she doesn't seem so hot.
How about Eva Marie?
Yeah, she's pretty terrible.
She has got awful.
Yeah.
JoJo, that's who Orton's banked now.
Well, congratulations to him.
She looks like she's 12.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that. Now, speaking of Raw... There's a bunch. Shield and Rhodes and Ray. That was a great match.
Open match. Most definitely.
Then it was pretty much all downhill.
Maybe that was the one where they were kind of mocking Ray at the end or something.
Maybe.
Because I watch, you know, the pay-per-view, then we watch Raw, so they kind of, like, meld together, you know.
Six-hour extravaganza.
Lucky us.
I'm going to say the Michael Strahan segment has to be one of the worst segments in the history of wrestling.
In a strange way, I was kind of looking forward to Michael Strahan, because I heard that he's a little standoffish with John Cena on the show, but this was explained to me by my brother. So I was kind of thinking, like, well, if he comes on Monday Night Raw and he's kind of like a little standoffish with Cena, I think that could be good. Because normally the guest hosts are always coming on and they're like, oh, I love you, Cena. God bless you for being a part of the WWE. Mm-hmm. Now, if this guy would have came in and gave him shit, I thought that would have been good. But he didn't. He was totally with Cena.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not even like the half of what was bad. Oh, my God. They're bringing Titus O'Neil is another guy. I don't know why. Who sees something in this guy? But he's out there, and he's got a gap, and Miz is out there, and he's being the Miz, and he said something real. He said, like, this lame giant stroke about them, like, it was, like, the wedge in that guy's teeth was, like, almost as big as the New York Giants in the Super Bowl, which, yeah, whatever, people, but he was, like, orgasmic over this joke. Like, he was, like, the friggin' man. He's, like, oh, it's just a joke. Don't hate me. And nobody was sating him. They just thought it.
He took the silence as hatred.
He just, I mean, he was popping over his own joke.
Well, they say he's the most annoying man in the locker room. So what are you going to do?
So
in the hip toss bit, yeah.
Horrible. It's so contrived. Why couldn't he just come out and hip toss him? They had this weird thing where it's like, who writes this? It makes no sense. It's just like,
and who's the wrestler in the ring, you know? I mean,
yeah, there were two wrestlers get their ass handed to them by a non-wrestler. And why, what? And then they just all stop and they bow and like, that's
and
like,
they
like
love one
high school play.
Yeah.
Like, on a play.
And I thought the Miz was a heel now. He was like, he was holding his hand out for Kofi Kingston, and then he jumped off the apron. That makes him a bad guy, right?
Yeah, he's a heel.
In
but
my
not.
Book, it does. Yeah.
He just broke character. They're like, oh, this is, and it wasn't a great performance. It's not like they went up there and did like a perform Shakespeare.
No.
There was not one good thing about that. The acting, the delivery, the dialogue they had, this whole thing with the hip toss, and then they just stop and break character, and they look at them and cheer each other and bow.
It was the curtain call, Jack.
Oh, my God. We're just talking to Mean Gene. He said, you know, we didn't write stuff back then. They just went out and did it.
Hmm.
Now they put more work for themselves to make things far worse than anybody could just go up there and do on their own.
Yeah. Hampton's hardcore match. This was voted on by the fans.
I didn't mind that match. I saw some people hate it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I like just the crazy, just freaking hardcore match. They're fun sometimes. I mean, like, they just hit each other with this stupid shit. Like, they had oars and stuff out in the ring.
Yeah.
Just, you know, trying to portray the Hamptons. And I just thought it would be funny if they just, like, had, like, a monocle or something. Or something really ritzy out there.
Yeah. Hitsy. Just hit him with a monocle.
Like, he wraps it around his hand or something. I thought that would have been good, but... You know, that was between Damian Sandow and Dolph Ziggler. And so they had the country match last week where they were hitting each other with instruments. Maybe they just want to do this stuff, but Damian Sandow got the win on that one.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, Tazo liked the stray hand gimmick.
He did?
I like Tazo. I don't know about him.
It wasn't good. No. Stray hand, I mean, wasn't good. He was no Bob Barker.
And then he was backstage, and the big redheaded guy from the Wyatts had the mask, gave a mask, and then Santino came up and told him to put it on a turkey and burn it, then eat the mask. And the dumb.
No, it wasn't so hot at all.
Dumb.
What did you make out of this Renee Young and CM Punk vignette with Daniel Bryan?
I actually thought it was a pretty good promo.
Yeah, it was a good promo, but it seemed like CM Punk wasn't, you know, going totally off script, which is fine by me. I applaud him for doing
you
it.
See that stuff? There's some life to this show.
Yeah, it feels good.
Mm-hmm. And he had like four Colt Cabana references.
Well, maybe that's why they write scripts for him.
Who cares if he mentions them? What difference does it make?
But Hulk Hogan always mentioned Brother Brudai and all of his promos.
Maybe. I guess
I think Colt's even worse than Brutus at this point.
Oh, yeah, he is. Brutus was over.
At least Brutus came out there and he had those damn shears and people were cheering for it.
He was Brutus the Barber Beefcake was really over.
Mm-hmm. He had Little Incher holding up a poster at the house show.
Yeah, and that was just last week.
Exactly. I still got that one.
What?
That poster, that Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Yeah, I said that was just last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Sometimes I just go to the Stop and Shop and just hold up the Brother Brudai.
Do people bring posters to other events besides wrestling?
You need to. I mean, go to like a Disney on Ice and hold it up.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to like a movie. I'm going to hold up like a Twilight poster when I go see Twilight.
I was at the flea market this has been a few months ago, and I was asking, like, a lady who had a bunch of DVDs, I was like, you got any, like, Twilight Zone DVDs? And then she looked at me, and she goes, Twilight? And she said, no, I haven't kept up with Twilight, and I kept trying to stop her. You know, I didn't want her going away from this conversation thinking that I just asked for the Twilight movies.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted her to know I wanted Twilight Zone. So I stopped her, and she's like, oh, no, I don't have any of that. I was like,
so, I want to say this. You know, people, like, vehemently hate Hulk Hogan. They're like, we hate this guy because he gets a job, and then he gets his friends a job. They hate him for that. They're like, fuck this guy. And then CM Punk tries to get all his buddies a job, and people are like, oh, he's the man. What a great guy. What's the difference? I personally think both guys are commendable for trying to get their friends jobs. That's what you should do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I can't blame him. And, you know, CM Punk probably would like to travel around with Colt.
Yeah, if we became the head honchos at TNA Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd see George South on there.
we'd probably be riding around in a car, and I'd be snorting coke or doing all kinds of crazy shit because the pressure of trying to get that company off the ground would just be killing me. Never did a drug before. I took control of TNA.
Straight to the cocaine.
Full on drug addict afterwards. If you ever want to find a way to make me drink, it's probably TNA. Just give me control of that company.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, there was a bunch of other shit on Xavier Woods. They're really trying to push this dude.
Yeah, yeah, they're sending him out there with the Funkadactyls, and he's got, like, the crazy entrance where his face goes all crazy whenever they're rubbing their asses together. Is the fro caught up in their asses? Like, what's the deal with that? Are they squeezing the fro in between it?
So, like, the fro would be in the butt cheeks?
It's kind of like a...
So it'd be like, wouldn't that, like, clean out their ass? Because it'd be like... They need to have, like...
Well, if they added some, you know, like, some sort of, like, soap in his hair or something. Dishwashing liquid.
They're into some kinky stuff.
And would you really want to be wrestling a guy after, like, he just cleaned out the lady's behinds? I don't know if I would.
Stinkhead. Instead of stink face, he just rubs his afro in their face and smells like ass.
Uh-huh. But hey, more power to the man.
Mm-hmm. If that's what you're into, if you're grown adults. What do you think about this guy? Is this guy going to take off?
I'll give him a chance. I mean, he's all right. He was down with the kosher butcher.
King didn't even take that guy's shirt. He's like, I brought you this shirt. The king just up there.
I love the kosher butcher. He even autographed it for the king.
Yeah, and the king just friggin' left it there.
He's like, he just told a joke that's been better than my 20 years of jokes on Monday Night Raw.
It was. It was like, and my finisher will be a circumcision. No stretching thing on the show. That was way better than any of the strand segments combined.
Yeah.
Some ass in the crowd who spent his life fortune just. The other guy, the guy we had on the show, he spent a bunch of money, but he walked out ringside with a tag team. This guy spent all his money, and he just sat in the crowd. He couldn't buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but he knew he could shine if he was on that camera, and he took advantage of that moment, and he shined. And the crowd, they melted like butter, and they were screaming, Kosher Butcher.
Kosher Butcher and Mrs. Dad would just destroy the whole roster. They've got the charisma.
Mrs. Dad, that guy, he's got it. What he has is it.
Boxman here on it. If you're listening to the show at iywatchwrestling.com, come over and join the live chat room so you can interact with us. And a box man just posted a video, GIF of, he looks like a crazy crack addict or something, but it's Xavier Woods rubbing his head between the asses of the Funkadactyls.
So there you go.
He's giving them an afro shine on the ass.
Let's see it. I gotta see this GIF. Yeah. He's buffing it up.
Mm-hmm. I will say the Shield, Goldust, Daniel Bryan, and Punk highlights of the show. The rest was pretty shit.
And the Kosher Butcher.
Yeah, circumcision. Just some ass in the crowd can write better stuff. How can someone write something so awful as that Michael Strahan segment? I think you'd have to go out of your way to write something that bad.
Yeah. Wasn't so hot. I mean, it wasn't like the delivery.
Not so
anything,
hot, it was awful, it was shit.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, it's not too bad. No, it was horrible.
It was BS, bad stuff. Now, do you think it was the stray hand that was the problem, or do you think it was just the material?
I cannot hear you.
Was it just the material?
I don't know what you're saying.
Was it the material?
Yes!
Okay.
It was everything. There's no one. Why couldn't he just come out and beat him up? It's got to be like, we're going to try to give you a hip toss, and then they can, and then he. It's not just.
is just Stretch here to kick some ass.
I want to see that. It's wrestling. I want to see some ass whooping.
Or like, you all think football players aren't tough? Well, I'm here to show you. So there you go. That was pretty much Monday Night Raw in a nutshell. Anything else you can think about?
Nah.
Let's see. I'm sure something else happened. Let's see. Kofi Kingston versus The Miz. The Miz beating.
That match was death. It's like watching, like, your eyes will slowly die before you.
They'll probably include it in the Faces of Death compilation, the next one that comes out. Match of death.
So boring. And how many times do we have to see those two guys wrestle each other? And you know he's going to win. Kofi never wins. Kofi wins less than Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
But you're supposed to buy that he might beat somebody. Like, oh, this... Why? I mean, he misses being like 28 times. And if you're in a 6-minute match, you shouldn't do like a 2-minute headlock.
No. Definitely not.
There is no room for it.
Yeah, so... Man. I just can't believe that they're finally putting the titles together. Whose brainchild was that? After all these years, what has changed to make them put the titles together at this time?
I don't know.
Just happy they're doing it.
I am. So, who's going to win it? Who's going to win both titles?
Oh, God. You know it's going to be Cena. You think that's, like, the obvious choice and they might switch it up?
Nah, I'm pretty sure it'll be Cena.
Yeah. It's maybe gotta be Cena.
Are they teasing that Orton's going to turn face? Always like he's always arguing with Triple H.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about.
And if he did, is there one heel in the company? Because you got Cena, you've got Daniel Bryan, you got CM Punk, you got Mark Henry. It's like everyone's gonna be a face. Randy Orton will be a face.
The Miz kind of went heel, but I guess he's back to being a face.
Yeah, right? But he's a bum.
I can just picture the Miz listening to this, and he's just like, "I'm a bum now." I was in WrestleMania. Like, what was it? And it's been 2 or 3 years ago now.
Yep.
Now he's just a bum.
He is.
You're Spider Enrico. Spider Rico from...
What about his movie? It's like, what was it? Like Christmas Bounty? It looks awful.
The Miz's movie, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The fine young lass was standing in the audience, and she was like, "Please watch my movie." I'm like, "No, I will not watch that. I'm sorry."
I haven't watched a WWE movie in a while. They're saying that they might stop making them.
Have they figured out that they're just losing money in this venture?
Yes.
They're like, wait a minute. Just like all the other outside ventures that we take, we're losing money. We might want to stop this one.
Now... Are you going to buy the WWE Network if it actually happens?
Oh, I thought it was up for sale like TNA or something. Are they talking about it actually coming back?
Yeah, it's going to be WWE Network. It'll be like either $10 or $15. All the pay-per-views will be on it.
Well, that is pretty appealing. $15 and you get all the pay-per-views.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And then plus all the other content.
Damn. That is pretty good. I mean, yeah, that's pretty tempting. I might have to get that. Well, what about you?
Definitely. I mean, I buy the pay-per-views now, so and they're not worth it, but if paying in for only 15 and then, you know, a bunch of other stuff I might watch, so yeah, I will definitely buy it.
I think that's a good business venture, you know, they go into that $15, you get the pay-per-view, you get all this other content. Yeah, sounds like a good deal to me.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to see on there besides besides the pay-per-views?
I mean, I don't ask for much in life. It could probably be like maybe a Total Divas marathon.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. It'd be cool to see like some old WCW shows. I miss WCW.
You and Dwayne give each other hand jobs while you watch Total Divas?
Are you just getting jealous?
And then you giggle like a little girl, like just like Baron Von Raschke said.
He didn't say I giggle like a little girl. He said, you got a good giggle.
He did. He said, quit your giggling.
Did he tell me to say quit my giggling?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, I didn't understand it.
Oh, I don't speak German.
WCW pay-per-views, maybe. Maybe some old NWA stuff. Old WWF pay-per-views be good. But a lot of the WWF footage is just ruined from all the blurry stuff and everything else that they have to edit out of their shows. A lot of their footage is just wrecked. I mean, any Attitude Era stuff, it's just ruined. Hey, you got a Pete Gas reference on Monday Night Raw this week.
Hell yeah. I love Pete Gas.
Yeah. JBL did he
Pete Gas at Mohegan Sun Casino.
Mm-hmm.
He said he'd come on the show. I'll have to set that up. I could have had him on the Mad Dog Vachon Memorial.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever met Mad Dog. I mean, he might have crossed paths at one time, but.
Mad Dog Sean. Yeah, so Pete Gass, I'm a big fan. I like
to
meet.
What would you like to see on the WWE Network?
I want to see the old folks' house. Whatever. What are they calling it? Wrestle House?
Oh, yeah. What happened to that?
I think it's been taped like 2 years ago.
It's been in the can and they're just not going to do anything with
Legend's
it?
Legend's House. It's got Mean Gene and Iron Sheik. I forget who else.
It did have a lot of buzz behind it. It'd be good if they brought that out.
Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of the editing stuff, recently they put out some, like, the History of WWE DVD, and the match with Hogan and Andre from WrestleMania 3, they edit out Jesse Ventura's commentary, and it's like, and it's one shot camera, like from the hard camera.
Man, because
it's Jesse Ventura.
So they shot it from just the hard camera to eliminate Jesse.
I guess, yeah.
Jeez, yeah, that's bad.
I think there's no commentary.
No commentary.
Yeah. I guess it's better than, like, you hear a guy like, hey, Jesse, what do you think about this match? Yeah. You know, it's just like, I've heard those where they edit the one person out,
mm-hmm.
and it's so weird because it's a silence, and then the other guy will talk.
Just pony up the bucks, WWE. I mean, you're ruining your footage. Mm-hmm. I know you want to get over on people, but sometimes they got you by the balls. I mean... Nobody wants to watch that.
How much you think they got to pay him anyway?
Yeah, really. I mean,
$50. They probably pay more to edit it out than what they'd have to just pay the guy.
Probably. Or like the blurred out footage. I mean, can't they work something out with those people? Nobody looks at the WWF logo and thinks that's pandas. Well, nobody
here in the chat room that supposedly don't have to edit that out anymore.
Really? I hope so, because God, that's just terrible, all that blurriness.
Gosh.
The blurred.
Oh, well, what are they advertising the World Wildlife Federation for on this wrestling show?
Well, I mean, the if I wanted to start like the World Whittling Entertainment.
Now this is a business venture we need to take on. I think you have just hit a proverbial oil well.
And we'll get like the best whittlers and around, and they'll have like whittle offs, and they'll have characters, and they'll cut promos on each other. Like, oh, I'm gonna take down old man Svensson. And they just sit there, these old folks, like on rocking chairs.
You know, probably some of the backwoods people you would find doing whittling, they probably would be pretty entertaining.
But now, so I've got the World Whittling Entertainment. Okay, it's taking off. I can't just call it the WWE, because the WWE owns, the WWE already exists.
Yeah.
So if I'm calling it the World Whittling Entertainment, that, or whatever, they're not going to, people aren't going to say, oh, that must be wrestling. Because they, it's owned, it's already owned. And WWE, you think they would just go, eh, whatever, let the whittling guys go about their business. No, they'd be the first ones to sue. So I have no, I don't feel bad at all for WWE in this, because the World Wildlife Fund had that name long before WWF.
Yeah, I understand like, that, but I'm just saying, like, nobody mistakes the WWF logo for
the matter. They own
World Wildlife Fund.
It doesn't matter.
They it does own. Matter.
It not in this. Not
I want to see my Stone Cold, and I want to see him without blurs all over.
Yeah, but then they should just pay him, or they shouldn't even done it in the first place.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just pay him, you know, or you know, I mean, they did it. It's already happened, so just pay them the money they want, so you can not have to blur that stuff anymore.
I think we should just. You think in your head if we just started to cover whittling, do you think we'd get the same amount of listeners, or do you think we get more? Do you think there's, like, a big whittling audience out there?
I don't believe so, but, you know, maybe we'll look into it.
Have you ever whittled?
I'll do some research. Yes, I've whittled a little bit, but I've never been skilled enough to actually make something look like something. Have you?
That's just called cutting.
Yeah. Have you whittled anything?
Just to cut wood is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
No, but actually my uncle used to be a pretty good whittler.
I could, like, make a stick kind of sharp, and that's about it.
Make a stick. What are you whittling there, sonny? I'm making a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Out of this stick.
Now, this Mark in the chat room, this podcast Mark, he's like, they haven't had to blur the logo for like 2 years, OIB. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, podcast Mark, I just don't go out buying all the DVDs. So, go fuck yourself. So, I don't know. Why don't you podcast Marks tell me about it?
So, if you could whittle, if you had the skills to whittle.
Now,
what
back
would you...
to whittling. If I had the skills to whittle, I would whittle like, I don't know, probably like a porcupine, but like make him like a hybrid between a goat and a porcupine. So like instead of like just having like spurs on his back, he would have like horns on his head as well. And he'd be a kick-ass hybrid porcupine goat.
Thought about this.
Yeah. Well, it's been a dream of mine ever since I was little.
To whittle it or to, like, create it? Like
just to whittle it. I mean, I'm surprised you're talking about this. You hit the nail right on the head. That's exactly what I've been thinking about.
Well, how have you ever thought of maybe, like, making a real one? You'd get, like, a porcupine and made it with a goat?
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Ultimate Beef says they should just start blurring the whole show. Just like
put that out on DVD. It's like you're watching porn back in the 90s through the descrambler thing.
Let's see here. On the if you guys want to call in, it's 508-644-8503, or you can Skype in jacking off. We have the mighty Lexar on the line.
How's I doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good, my man.
Are you excited that you're having a great Thanksgiving tomorrow?
I plan on eating as much turkey as possible. Challenge my brother to a wrestling match out in the front yard. Going out in the front yard and totally slapping on the sharpshooter and make him submit. And then I'll eat some more turkey. I saw Zach, what's his name, the one-legged wrestler?
Well, Zach, I thought he was the best rider. Zach Gowan.
Saw him on ROH Wrestling this week.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, why hasn't somebody put this man in a figure four?
He's awesome.
Can you put a figure four in a one-legged dude?
I don't know. He should have been the man that could never lose a Royal Rumble.
Because
his 2 feet could never touch the mat.
I forgot that one.
You've
been saying it for years.
Yeah. He is the man, Zach Gowan. Like, I do like Zach Gowan.
Just make the Royal Rumble brutally long because the other guy just has to just get so tired he just eliminates himself. He's like, all right, take it.
Well, how about another guy just cuts off his leg? It's like, I can't lose that either.
Like, cut you now, motherfucker.
He's sitting there sawing off his leg. Hacksaw.
You thought this plan was foolproof.
That's how they could have brought him in. He could have been a two-legged guy, and then he's in the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls out a hacksaw. He just starts hacking off his leg. Like, holy fuck, this fucking guy, he wants to win the Rumble so bad he's hacking off his own leg so he can't lose. That'd have been money.
I don't know what I'd want more. Walking around on my own two legs for the rest of my life, or just winning the Royal Rumble.
Yes, winning the Rumble. Taking the start.
Could you get one of the world championship whittlers to come in and whittle your leg off?
That would take time. That's like something a sadist thinks about, because that's like a slow process.
So now you're calling me a sadist?
Yeah, if you're gonna whittle someone's leg off, I mean that's gonna take like weeks.
No, I don't think
it's Hillbilly
takes
sitting there whittling. Yeah, they're bringing up some. They said this is one of my gems. This. The gummy worms for the boogeyman. That would have been huge. And Toad brings up peanut butter shit face. That's the kind of good stuff you'd get if we were writing TNA. I actually have a really good idea for TNA that I think would help the company. I'm not going to say it on the show. I sent it to Dixie Carter. Now she's going to hire me. And I'll save TNA.
So there you go. Did you watch the TNA? I think it was I forget what pay-per-view they were calling it. It wasn't a pay-per-view, but it was on the
pre-show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't watch it.
Didn't watch it? Okay.
Was it good?
I was kind of pumped up for it, but it wasn't as good as what you would think. You want me to spoil it for you? Because I doubt you're going to watch it.
Yeah.
The Ace and the Eights is no more, apparently.
Oh, man. I am so saddened.
There you go. I knew you would be. Ken Anderson, he beat Bully Ray. The Aces and Eights had to disband.
Good. I love Bully, but Aces and Eights isn't the shits. It's awful. Yeah. So what's going to happen to Nux?
No, I think you know what's going to happen to him.
What about Baby Boy Bischoff?
What's going to happen to all of them after the, you know, company sold and they go under? Is it still for sale? Are they really going to sell it?
I don't know. I put in my bid. Look, I'll give you $50 and an in-your-head button.
They'll take it eventually.
Bye.
Deal.
Do it to it. So what do you think, Mighty Lexar? Are you going to buy TNA?
If I had the money and wrestling business sense, yes, probably will. I always wanted to become a wrestling promoter, but never got a chance to
do it. You can be the next Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm. Will you give me the book so you can slowly watch me turn into a drug addict?
See, 484 error code. Who are you?
Maybe I'll become the next Jim Herder, but better.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Lexar.
Yeah, I never got...
484 error code. Who are you? Who? Hello? All right, well, they hang up. I thought maybe it was someone I tried to get on the show earlier.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Lexar seems so pissed that you just heard the thing go click.
I am pissed, actually, because I tried to join the chat room, and fucking Java's giving me problems. I can't do shit, man.
Who are you?
It's Forte.
Who?
Forte. Jimmy Forte.
Forte.
Oh,
what's up, man?
This guy is my official lackey.
Yes, I am. And I'm proud of that fact, actually. I'm proud of that, because I like you. I mean, Jack, you're a good man. Great show tonight, too, by the way. To have all those legends, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's
fucking awesome.
Forte here. It's a good dude. I like this guy. So what's on your mind in the world of wrestling? First time, it's a lot of time listener, first time caller.
That's true. Survivor Series Blue, for one.
Yes.
I want to talk about that. And then they did half the matches again the next fucking night.
That was odd that they gave them all away for free.
Yeah.
On TV.
It's bad.
Kind of just makes you think, I watch this boring-ass pay-per-view, and now I'm watching Raw, and they're giving away everything for free. So why did I pay for any of it?
I wouldn't have paid $55 for it, but Chicken did. And I gave him, $20, so it was fun. But either way, I mean, it was bad, man. It's really bad.
You go and watch a pay-per-views at Shaheen's house?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. There was a lot of pugs there, but it's fine. It's cool.
You guys buddies.
We are now, because of you or whatever. So that's cool. You bring people together, Jack.
See? Let this enter in your head, it makes friends.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. You know, when Siamese friends will become a thing, like you have Siamese twins when they're conjoined, and then, to show, how big of a friend you are, you would just sew yourself to another person and you'd be Siamese friends?
That sounds retarded to me, but...
You think that will ever become a fad?
Probably not. I don't know. That sounds like the snake thing, though, on your other show. Or Annabelle was talking about snakes, eating each other or whatever. I don't know. Who knows?
I think you just made that all up, Jack, and it'll never become anything.
I think now that I said it, it'll become a thing.
I'm sure you'll write some songs about it.
Siamese friends.
I liked your song, by the way, Jack.
Well, thank you. Which one? The Survivor Series one. Did you hear this one, Intro, the Survivor Series song?
Yes, I'll listen to it a little bit. Done to the Rocky tune? Huh? What do you got to say now, smartass?
I'm going to play it a little bit.
Yeah, I'm tired of the Rocky tune.
Play it, Jack. Play it.
Can you hear that?
You didn't play it enough. It was good. It was good.
Can you hear it now?
I can hear it a little bit, yeah. I could. Now it's gone away.
Yeah, I turned it off.
Oh.
I'll play it later.
All right. It was good, though. I like that. You're funny. You're very funny, Jack.
And Jimmy gave me the idea for the song. He suggested Eye of the Survivor, and I changed it up a little bit.
That was cool.
He
added too many words, though, like C Series of Survivor. I mean, there was too many words, but
actually, Series of Survivor was actually went with the. It had the same amount of syllables.
As I have so far?
You really put that much thought into your song? You're counting syllables?
Yes. I'm just kidding.
All right. It was good.
Had two did you hear that? That's the sound of my mind just being blown.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let's get back to that. The interest mind being blown. You asked Gene Okerlund about the Blue Cage thing, right?
Yes.
He didn't give you a clear answer on that. He said you should give Inter a cocktail. That's what he said.
Yeah,
right.
Basically, he wants to drive Inter to drink.
But he didn't give you a clear answer, and I still like the big Blue Cage.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was leaning towards the Blue Cage.
I don't.
It sounded like it to me. It sounded like he was leaning towards it.
I don't know about that answer. He was kind of leaning towards the other one, but he didn't say it for a fact. So we'll keep going with the. Big Blue Cage situation.
Thanks.
All right, get on the next caller. Get on the next caller.
All right, well, thank you, Jimmy Forte. You're a good man. I think you're headed towards Hall of Fame status.
Not yet, man. We got time for that, don't we?
Got to keep it up, though. And again, 4 or 5.
And by keep it up, that means decades. Call in and praise whatever shitty song Jack just made.
No, he's not doing it because he is praising because he knows talent. He is praising it because he knows quality. He's praising it because it gives him pleasure. It puts a smile on his face. It gives him a pep in his step. And it makes his life full of joy. And that is what Jackie Jones, the internet icon, the pride of the pilgrims, the nature boy, the podcast god, does for the listeners of this show.
Good job with the legends tonight, man. I liked it.
Thanks.
All right, I'm going to let you guys go. Thanks.
Talk to you soon.
Take her easy.
Peace.
I like that guy. All right, we've got Yolanda on the line.
How did you remember my number? For 1,000 years.
He's got that one memorized.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like sometimes after we're done doing the show, he's like, should I call her now, Incher? I'm like, I don't know, Jack. He's like, I know her number. Sometimes he sings that 6-9, that you know, Jazzy, I've got her. No. He sometimes sings it, but he replaces it with your number.
Oh.
867-5309. Incher, I got Yolanda's number. Incher, I'm going to make her mine. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Yolanda.
No, it's okay. It's okay. No, I miss you guys so, so much. It was hard for me to not laugh out loud during when I was put on hold. You guys are so fucking awesome. So I finally... I saw NASA... Jackie Jones post.
That's what I like. Jones.
And I said I had to call in. I had to call in for the holidays.
You should start calling me that too, Incher, Massa Jones.
Yes. Massa.
Yeah, that's all right.
It sounds more black that way.
Thanksgiving's
so
coming up. What are you thankful for, Yolanda?
Oh.
Master Jones.
That's, you know what? I can't think of a real answer for that. I do have an answer. I do have a real answer. Besides in your head, which is a blessing to us all, I am very thankful that there will not be a new Kali. They will keep his big dumbass in India and not replace the jackass that unfortunately we have to look at on Monday nights.
I think it'd be awesome if he just came in and they just called him the new Kali. They're like, come into the ring, the new Kali.
And then they shoot him in the knee.
Would you want to be known as the new great Kali?
Hell no.
Yeah,
where's the gun?
That's got to be like the biggest buzzkill ever whenever you're like your career with WWE's done and you got to go back to India. God.
Go live in a house made of shit.
It's like I'm stuck in this third world country. Oh, no.
I like the king, though.
Well, if that's the case, then I guess it wouldn't be so bad.
Fall apart.
He lives in a castle of feces.
Some horrible man will just come out of nowhere and he'll be like, we need to blind the great Kali so he can sing on the streets and make us more money. Slumdog Millionaire, Jack.
Oh, that's a good movie.
That idiot needs to go. That's you know, that old Yeller type of stuff. Where he needs to be put out his misery.
They should just take him out back and put a bullet in his head.
I think so. Libel TV. That's horrible. But so true. Get
like
the fuck out of here. I'm tired of shit.
Like a mystery novel. Where it all unravels about Vince trying to get rid of the great Kali because he's in such an ironclad contract. And he's like, we'll just kill it.
He killed the guy in the ring. It's only karma.
You know, it even reminds me of watching I stumbled upon Family Guy earlier today, and they were showing, I guess how, it's called Clay Hog or whatever they're from, how it was established. And so, you know, Peter Griffin or Griffin Peterson, whatever his name was, he wanted to be with somebody else, which was, you know, his real wife or whatever, but ended up with his daughter, which is really weird. And so when Lois, Queen Lois came over, he was, the narrator said, well, the only way in order to be with Lois, he had to get rid of his wife the way they used to back in the day. And all you see him was take his shotgun and, like, shoot the bitch in the chest.
Who was the highest in calling him the greater Kali?
Oh, hell no. No more Indians. I'm done. I like Jinder Mahal. He can stay.
Jinder Mahal.
Jinder Mahal.
Ginger, I mean, I'm sorry, Ginger.
I like the three-man band. I don't care what anyone says.
I do, too. I love their horrible clothes in London. That was great.
Now, Jack, you're saying I don't care what anybody says, but who was singing the praises of the three-man band when they first started?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
I think it was me. I can't remember, to be honest with you. Somebody go back and listen to that bullshit. I can't remember.
Who's the bigger guy in Virginia? Heath Slater or Necro Butcher?
Oh, my God.
Well, Pondo lives in West Virginia, so.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah,
Jamie Noble.
Yeah, he got arrested recently. I don't know if
Jamie
saw
Noble
it.
Did?
No.
Necro Butcher.
Necro Butcher, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
If you read I felt bad for him. He's like, yep, I got arrested. But he said, like, he had, like, a trip plan where he spent all his money in the bank to go to Disneyland. And then, like, then she left him and took his kids and all his money. And so then he just beat her up. And he's like, I know it's not right to do, but he was pissed. So he didn't know what happened to his kids. So he just beat her up.
I will be on the last of this shit.
I bet she never expected to just leave with his kids and just to expect to come back and be in a death match.
is that West Virginia justice?
That's what it's about.
They're like, let's set the man free. Don't you know what happened here? His wife took off with his kids and went to Disneyland without him. The bitch got what she deserved.
Oh.
Oh my goodness gracious! It's so much. You got Xavier Woods and his. Was his Soul Glow activator juice as part of his entrance? That was awesome.
This is a true story to go on. I grew up on the Cape, this little town of Sam. Mm-hmm. And granted, there is not a lot of diversity. I think you can even go to Wikipedia. I think it's not even no joke. It's 99.6% white in my town. But at one point, I did have black neighbors. And I always felt so bad for the little kid, because this was like 93, 94, and he and they'd give him a Jerry curl, and it was like very outdated. And I was just like, man, I feel bad for that little kid. I remember used to walk around with a shower cap on his head.
Oh my god!
He's like six and had a Jerry curl.
I hope that little boy fucked up the couch with his head on the pillow.
When the Soul Glow family comes over on to the McDowell's house.
To America.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
All three leave a stain on the couch.
You know that shit they come out.
When they moved in across the street, the neighbor directly next to them just moved away.
Damn.
And his name was Jackie Jones.
I used to play basketball. I had a basketball hoop in the back, and
that was your cool point.
Yes, they would come and play basketball with me. Yeah, so you know.
I'm sure he just schooled you though. You're like, why did I challenge him to this?
I didn't challenge. I was just playing.
Damn it! Why don't I have a NASCAR?
We play like, well, instead of horse, we play scum. You have to spell scum. But so we play horse and touchy. And so you know, you take a shot or something, and he'd be like, oh, and he would dunk, and it's like, oh, well, I guess I got a letter. Can't dunk a basketball. 5'3".
So, Jack, please tell me your favorite show is Total Divas.
I've never watched it, and
he never will.
Never will watch it. Intra watches it religiously.
Yes. Total
Him
Divas.
And Fane, they strip down.
You would have loved last week's episode full of dildos and condoms and Vaseline and
you know, I haven't actually watched last week's episode, so I don't know anything about it. I need to check that one out.
Check that out. Mm-hmm. Check that out.
See,
that
you watch
stuff.
All these ones when they're just like going shopping or whatever the hell they're doing, and then this one they're doing all this sex stuff, and you don't even watch it.
No, I just forgot.
Man.
I watched the pay per view. I watched Monday Night Raw, and then I had some stuff I had to do yesterday, and I just forgot. It slipped my mind.
Yeah, you gotta catch it, because one of them goes to the sex doctor, and the doctor's like, they're direct, too. She was like, you like sex? The girl said, no. She said, you like oral? The girl said, yeah. She was like, do you masturbate? I'm like, whoa, you asked a little girl, does she masturbate? She said, no. She said, well, let me tell you. A magazine, go watch porn, do what you gotta do to get your groove on, to get in where you sit in, to get down and get busy, and make sure you get the dust knocked off that stuff. I like that doctor. She kept me real.
I use that line a few times, you know, it's like, I'll knock the dust off, but it doesn't ever work.
High five, Richard.
I thought they'd use a line like somebody be like, what are you doing with that magazine? Doc's orders!
Oh, man.
Drop one out and saw him in the morning.
Last but not least, can somebody help me touch B. Lace's breasts? That would be, that's like a dream to me. That face is juicy.
Incher, what do you think of Big E's breasts?
Better than Bree, fellas.
Yeah, Bree, she doesn't have much there. The other one is just, I don't know, they're like the complete opposite nowadays.
Yep.
But Big E's breasts, I never really thought about them, to be honest with you.
I can you not miss it?
They're like pieces in his head.
After he claps that Coke, you know, when he gets on stage and he claps the Coke and the Coke disperses, all you see is breath.
Now I gotta ask you, Yolanda, what do you think about Big E's haircut? Isn't that like that's gotta be really epic? It's like from like
Alright, well, Biggie Langston first came out, and I didn't give him a chance. What did I call it? I was like, why he got a haircut that looked like a nappy-ass badge? Now I just got used to it.
I'm not sold on Biggie.
Not sold on it. I don't know.
But I'm not going to kick... I get a kick out of him.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Maybe he's just his, maybe he's just juicy breath. Oh, turn the way I think about, change my mind.
Mm.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Andrew, what were you going to say?
I'm not crazy about his entrance when he comes out and he has the whole chalk thing in his hands and he's kind of going crazy with that, but... I don't know. He might be something. It seems like he gets people into his match a little bit, so he might have something there.
I don't know if I've ever seen that, any of his matches get anybody into him.
Like the one he had on Monday Night Raw is fairly fast paced, and well, I think it was on the pay per view with the Curtis Axel. Maybe he just works well with him.
That match that was not getting anybody excited.
I
got one. I got one, the one with him and Ambrose. I forgot when that was, but
yeah,
I mean, that was
where
good.
He got his eye busted open.
Yeah, he right, needed to use cocoa butter.
Mm. What do you say, Jack? Come on.
That was pretty bad. I'm a big fan of Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was bad.
Smashed each other in the face. It was like a big...
Oh, that's what happened.
...to him. Toast is saying that you missed Total Divas' intro because you were, you were pinball soldering, however you say it.
Soldering?
Yes.
Oh.
Were you soldering some pinball?
I actually had a job where I had to fix some people's pinball the other day. So I worked from like 12 p.m. to like 6. So I worked like 6 straight hours on this pinball machine.
Pinball wizard.
Just changing out all the rubber rings and stuff. But yeah, so I actually was, so he's not far off. Not soldering on it, though. But that was a good guess. And which, that's just, I think, bored everybody, so just carry on.
Well, Yolanda, I want to thank you for calling in. You're one of our favorite callers.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for accepting my call. Am I allowed? Can I stay online? But I'll put myself on mute. My computer has been a jerk, so I can't listen to your show live.
All right.
Well, until I figure it out.
All right. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out in time. Let's see. is this Shaheen on the line?
Yes, sir. How's it going?
The deaf, dumb, and blind intro show plays a mean pinball.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think he does it? I don't know.
I love the story about...
What makes him so good?
I love the story about Elton John advising Rob Stewart that he does not want to take a role in the Tommy movie. He's like, you don't want to do that role. And then the next thing that Rob Stewart knows, Elton John is doing the role that he was supposed to be in. He just totally screwed him.
What are you going to do?
It's kind of like when we first started the show, and I was like, man, this Jackie Jones guy, he's out there.
Yeah, he wasn't Jackie Jones then, he was jacking off.
Yep, he was just jacking off. And then I was like, I need to go and talk to a man, get some advice on whether I should continue. I was like, I'll go none other than this humongous... And ask him what he thinks, which was Neil Jones.
This is a true story, too. This is not some skit bit.
Mm-hmm. And he advised me to keep doing it.
I was, for a long time, I was Lord Humongous, or this Humongous on the Get in the Ring message board. I was a kind-hearted soul, And then my troll account, where I would troll people, I was jacking off. And so we started the show with jacking off and one-inch biceps. And Incher did not realize they're two different. I mean, he thought they were two different people. And he actually asked the advice of Humongous about jacking off, who were actually the same person. So as Humongous, I told Incher, you guys have a lot of chemistry. You should keep on going.
Bamboozled. But I guess it's a good thing that I kept going.
Yeah, or else there wouldn't be a show now.
Exactly. So podcast marks, rejoice the day that Neil Jones pulled the wool over my eyes and said, keep going.
I like him blindfolded. Now, TMC, I wonder if Jack's troll account now is XT. But if you are familiar with the show, XT has called into the show. And he's got a very active Facebook account. A lot of people like Toast think that I do multiple voices. Mm-hmm. And that I just sit around all day making, you know, all these Facebook accounts. No, that is not the case.
Are you Sigmund the Cheese Boy?
No, I wish I was. I did like that gimmick. What would he always say?
I like cheese.
Yes, he was Sigmund, and he just said, I like cheese. All right.
Which me, about nobody understands that one.
But me and you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shaheen, and Golgo13 out there, he is popping.
Well, I'm glad that kid doesn't call in anymore.
It's a true story. Back in the day, it was him and, do you remember the caller from Portugal, LTNA fan?
Yeah.
They were voted, year on the Facebook, on the message board, and we wanted them to call in and do like a skit for the headies where they would accept the award, and they were so heated against each other they would actually not even call in at the same time.
They refuse.
Yes.
Now that was some hatred.
And actually, before John the Song Man stuff, I called up XT. Because there was a fake XT on the board, or fake, and saying that like they killed themselves, and so I called him up to make sure he's all right.
That's happened a few times on the show. We're making sure people don't kill themselves.
Yes. And there have been fans who call me in the middle of the night when they were about to kill themselves, which I'm glad that they didn't, but it still was not a fun thing to go through.
Jesus, man. You got it rough.
This is why I no longer answer messages.
Yeah. Didn't you call the song man's mom once?
Yes,
time?
Yes, because he said he was going to kill himself last year. I think it was New Year's, he was going to kill himself.
Oh, we're man. The suicide blockers.
Yes.
Suicide blocker. Oh, my God.
So what's on your mind? You're not calling in to kill yourself on air, are you?
No, I would never do that. I'm pretty happy.
Good man.
Yeah, I'm a happy man.
Mm. So what's on your mind?
Not happy with WWE, though. But,
No. It's
overall.
With what?
I actually ordered a Survivor Series, like I actually paid for it, with, I'm sure you guys spoke to him before, Jimmy Ford, he called in earlier. I went half on it with him, and we watched it, and we had some alcohol involved, and that definitely didn't even help the show. I don't know, man. I think that's going to be my last pay-per-view that I buy. I'm just going to stop watching them.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Not at all.
There's been a string of really bad pay-per-views.
Yeah, it's five in a row now.
That's not a good track record.
Not at all. It's not going to be good until Royal Rumble, and Royal Rumble's probably going to be shit. It's just, you know.
I don't think it's hard for Royal Rumble to be bad, even with the ones that weren't the best. Like, it was still, like, watchable.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason it's watchable is because
the
Rumble
match is always just
match.
Fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's a special attraction match. It's the only reason it's you know, it makes the pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah. So
other than that, they don't have the same type of shit.
I believe.
I don't know, man. I'm so tired of Cena, man. I don't want to sound like one of those guys that just, you know, talks about Cena all the time. I'm just so fucking tired of this guy.
Yeah.
He's overexposed, and I think he's, not that he's ever been a great wrestler, but he used to have great matches now and then. But since he came back from his injury, I think he's, really gone downhill. Like, you can really tell, like, he doesn't want to do much in the ring. Even the moves that he did anyway, like, were always a little forced and stuff, but now it's even worse.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys paid attention to the match, you know, I don't know about most people. I pay attention to the match psychology, and, you know, the little things matter. And, you know, this guy, Del Rio, was working on his, I don't know, right or left arm, whatever it is, whichever one is injured. And he sold the injury for about 2 minutes. The next thing you know, this guy's getting up and throwing shoulder tackles with the same arm that's supposed to be injured and, you know, doing fucking tornado DDTs with using that arm from the top rope. Like, come on, man. This guy doesn't sell anything. He's just, you can't hurt him, apparently. It's too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same shit. Like, there's no reason to see him on pay-per-view. You already know he's going to win. It's there's no difference. The only time he won was against Daniel Bryan in the last, like, I don't even know how long.
I'd say it's a bunch of BS. You know what that means.
Yeah, there you go. Britney Spears and bad stuff.
There you go.
Like, that type of shit, man. That type of shit just makes me, like, I can't stand the guy.
I like on Facebook, I saw that he's always posing with people who are anti-Cena. Like, he always tries to make sure it frames up to where he's holding up the belt and he's got this shit-eating grin on his face.
wasn't it just that? I mean, anytime he would pose in the ring, it's just going to be anti-Cena signs by him anyway.
It's like the entire arena's just like, we fucking hate you.
And then people want to still argue that it's not most of the crowd, but it is. It's like half the crowd and more are booing them. It's just embarrassing. The main event, the main guy of your show is just booed all the time.
The Make-A-Wish kids wishing that Cena was gone.
What's your? That'd be awesome. What's your wish? And the kid's like, for you to go away.
That might be the one thing that could get him off TV.
Trying away from cancer, please go away.
Just be off of WWE television.
When Strahan was on there, and he's like, oh, they're gonna wrestle, blah blah. It's like they, you know, boo Alberto Del Rio and Orton a little bit, not like crazy. And then it's like Big Show, but they're gonna fight Big Show, and it was like, yay. And then and John Cena! And it's like, boo!
Right, I mean, I just don't understand. Like, you know, WWE, they keep saying it's a business. Like, you know, the fans clearly are chanting for Bryan and Punk. If it's about a business, why don't you just give the fans what they want? I'm sure you'll probably just make just as much money off of Cena's shit if you actually gave Daniel Bryan a legitimate, you know, T-shirt instead of having goats on it and, you know, all the stupid shit.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know, man, it just pisses me off.
Yeah, it's lame. You watch him, he's clearly the guy that everyone likes, but, you know, Daniel Bryan, but yet he's pushed down the card now. It's dumb.
I mean, honestly, I'm not even a big fan of Daniel Bryan, but, like, I mean, I'm much, you know, he's one of my favorites in WWE, but he's not, you know, one of my all-time greats, but, I mean, for God's sake, man, the whole fucking crowd likes this guy. Why don't you just give him the belt? I mean, that's, you know, that's what wrestling is about. Give the fans what they want. Not fucking give them
Big
Show.
It's like, the way they booked it, it's, they just keep telling you this guy sucks.
Yeah, they just make you, they're trying to get people to hate him. I don't understand. You know, he got over on his own, which is, you know, I'm sure one of the hardest things to do in wrestling without having to push. But, I mean, you got gold on your hands and you're trying to, you know, turn it into shit for no reason to just put Big Show up there. Like, Big Show, come on, man. We've had Big Show against Randy Orton 40,000 times already. It's not entertaining. Both of them fucking suck. Nobody's trying to watch this shit. And they botched everything in the match. The punt, he kicked him like 5 feet away. He didn't even connect near his head. And the DDT, he dropped him on his belly. Like, it was a bad match, man. I just don't understand.
The punt was
everything
far away.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't even go near his head.
Mm.
And, you know, they got Del Rio, you know, smacking his knees every 2 seconds right in front of the camera. Like, come on, man. You guys have better fucking production than this shit. I don't know. And, you know, like Jack was talking about a couple weeks ago when they just call all the moves. Like, I hear every move they're calling now. Like, I know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they do that a lot in all the matches. They're very loud.
Yeah. Really loud.
They'll zoom in when they're talking to each other, and it's very bad. They used
really
to not
bad.
Do that so much, but every once in a while you'd hear a spot, and you'd think it's funny, but now it's just like you hear it all the time. You're almost used to it.
Yeah, I mean, at WrestleMania, I remember the Rock and Cena match. I could hear the whole conversation. I mean, I didn't even need to watch the match. They were just telling me what they're going to do, so.
Yeah, and I know you're watching. No one, I mean, well, there are people. But, I mean, for the most part, no one's watching think it's real, but you don't want to hear them go.
Right, I don't want to hear it.
If you're watching a movie, you don't want to see the actors go over, like, their scene beforehand, and then it's in the movie. It would be awful.
It's kind of like watching a
horror movie, and you can see the camera or the lightning or the fucking directors in the background. Like, come on, man, I know it's fake, don't ruin it so much.
You're watching a porno, and you can hear the director in the back giving the girl directions.
There you go.
It's like, it just takes you out of the moment.
That's a little bit
of a Tommy Dreamer, you know, right there.
Have you ever watched porn with Tommy Dreamer in it?
Oh, I'll pass on that. No thanks.
What do you guys think is going to happen at TLC? You think they're actually going to have like a unification match, or is it just going to trade championship belts?
I think they'll have a unification match.
Yeah.
I think Cena's going to grab the WWE belt, and they're going to give Orton the world title just to make Cena the WWE champion again. You know,
that'd be lame, but
I can see that happening. And then they'll have another rematch.
Yeah.
Same old shit every time.
You drag out these feuds for many months. Hopefully the Big Show one was just a one-off, because it was not something I want to see for 3 or 4 months.
Are you guys excited to see, like, the belt becoming one, or?
I'm glad, but I'm not, like, excited about it. It's not, like, great build here, but I am. I'll be very happy to see this one title.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to make a one, but I feel bad for people like Cesaro and Ziggler and people like that, because at least, you know, they had some kind of hope of being, you know, world champion.
I actually don't at all, because if you're not good enough to be the main guy, then you shouldn't be.
Well, the thing is, they are good enough. They just don't make them, you know?
Not everyone should be. It hasn't helped the show at all having, you know, two titles and having, you know, guys that normally wouldn't have gotten a shot have the title. It didn't help when Swagger won the title.
Rio
being the trim. To me, it's much more important if you can be that good that you can win the world title.
Well,
not
just
everybody
just,
in the...
They just get it off of Cena for a while, man. I'm just fucking tired of this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, he got an injury. It's like, why didn't he just, you know, take advantage of that and stay out for a while? It's like, WWE's not going to forget about the dude. I mean, God, he's been the number one guy for how many years now? Probably like 8?
Fucking 40 years.
Feels like 40. So it's like, take advantage of your time off. You don't have to come back instantly. At least, you know, try to make us think that you're not on roids.
Hey, Andrew, did you happen to see the Total Divas this week?
No, I didn't see it. I was
you didn't see it?
Busy.
Well, there's a segment with Cena, and he's asking whatever the fuck her name is, you know, Brian's girl. Which one is that?
Vag Tattoo.
Small tits, yeah, Vag Tattoo. he was asking her how Brian is doing and all this, and if you watch the episode, you can tell that Cena was just, you know, he didn't really mean it. You can see jealousy in his eyes. I can see this guy literally talking to fucking Triple H and you know, him being one of the main reasons these guys aren't getting over. I can definitely see that. That's another reason I just don't like this guy.
Yeah. I guess it could be possible. I think the political scene in WWE is just, it just runs rampant. And, like, some guys, they get the way, you know, they get their way on things, and people who are coming up, they just don't. I mean, there's no other explanation why they're not pushing Daniel Bryan. I mean, or giving him such a lackluster push when he's going for the belt. I mean, they just try to make it out like, well, he wasn't good enough to begin with, you know? When all the fans are just going apeshit for him.
That'll stop soon.
Yeah.
Give us 6 more months. They keep shitting on him every pay-per-view. They're not going to cheer for him anymore.
Yeah, exactly. They'll just keep it up.
Yeah. They're testing the waters out, man. They're just taking too long, you know? They're going to ruin their opportunity.
Oh, they do it with so many people. I mean, like Ryback, I mean, last year or whatever. I mean, he was super over. He could have been a big star, but...
Oh, yeah.
They just totally squandered the poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, Ryback, man, if they're actually going to put him against Goldberg, that's going to be a waste of money, because, you know, like Jack said earlier, man, they got to start letting him win matches. Like, what is the point of seeing him against Goldberg? He just fucking got beat by R-Truth. Like, what the fuck is the point? You know, the whole point is, like,
if they would have built him up and had him beat a bunch of people and they brought in Goldberg, I mean, that could have been a big match.
But I mean, honestly, if they just give him a winning streak now, it wouldn't even work anymore. Just they've ruined him so much. He's lost to so many little guys, to just jobbers. He's jobbed out to jobbers. I mean, like, you can't build this guy up anymore. You got to let him go for like a year or two. This guy's fucking down a hole.
And they always acted like, who's gonna beat Ryback? Like everyone? Why? Yeah. I mean, you lose every week. Why would you be surprised you lost?
Yeah, should be a better question: is who can't beat Ryback?
Yeah. Well, Shaheen, well, thank you for calling in. You are a good man and a good caller.
Thanks, man. Before I leave, just one more thing. What do you guys think about those Cena sucks signs? So you don't think that's kind of odd? And from what I hear, they always confiscate those things. And I don't know. It looked odd to me. I think it was either staged or, I don't know.
I don't know.
Photoshop?
No, I don't know about Photoshop, but I don't want to say I think because it's probably not going to happen, but I would love to see Cena heel turn. I think that would be something good, and you know, just him posing in front of the fucking Cena sucks.
Yeah, good too. And I know, you know, the people that are against it, like you might as when he first turns heel, you might lose some of the money, you know, that you get from his merchandise and stuff. But in the long run, I think it's going to help because he'll eventually get cool again to the people that hate him now, and then you turn him babyface again, and then you can sell all these shirts again to the people that always liked him and the new crop of people that like him again.
I don't know, just him posing in front of those, it just looked like it's setting up for a video package of you know, him showing that you know, he's always good to people and doing all these charities and all that, and people just say he sucks, and you know, doing those signs. I can see something like that.
Alright, we'll talk to you soon, Mr. Sheen.
All right,
man.
Have a good one.
Take her easy.
Bye.
All right, Inchman.
Yes, sir.
Got something for you.
This is never followed by anything good.
Well, can you hear it?
It's cutting in and out.
I'll send it to you, and you can play it.
My connection's a little crappy tonight, so...
Asshole.
I think it's due to how cold it is outside. It's like 17 degrees outside.
Can you hear this better?
I can hear it when you first start it, and then it cuts out.
I'll just send it to you, and you can play it. How's that?
That's fine. I have to switch it over and everything.
You know you love it.
You know you love it.
I know I do. So won't the world.
Send away, boy.
Hold your ass.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
Send it to you. Accept it, kid.
Better than yours. All right, I'm getting it.
I don't see you accepting it. This is waiting.
There. Jeez.
Oh, Tom. All right, while you're downloading that, getting it set up.
We're going to dream of the dream, a him and a high, a dream of the heaven, a he.
I'm
I see you finally did my idea for a Survivor Series song.
I did. I didn't realize it was your idea, though. But whatever. Did you like it? Were you pumped? Were you rocking out?
Yeah.
See? Were you dancing?
Yeah. I had a couple of friends over listening to it and then say, wait a minute, whose idea was this for this song? I said, it was my idea, guys.
If you say so, John, I don't think it was, but hey, what the hell? Now, when your friends are over, were you guys dancing, rocking out, partying?
Yeah.
See? It's good times. So how many friends were over for the this party?
Three.
There you go.
Hell yeah. Get
a party, just like Nitro Party, and sure.
It's better than my parties. Party one.
You got this song queued up, Incher?
I'm getting it. I'm getting it. All
right. So what's on your mind in the world of wrestling?
I didn't like how they did the rematch that we saw the night before. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Because you see the same thing over again. We just seen it.
No one wants to see that same match 24 hours later after they pay for the freaking pay-per-view.
Exactly, Jenny Jam. You got it, boy. I do want to mention over kayfabe commentaries, they sent me some videos. They sent me the most despised, and this was they voted, the fans voted on the top five most hated people in professional wrestling. They went down the list, and it was a fun watch. I liked this is a different series that they do for kayfabe commentaries, and most of them, it's whatever. You always get the only problem with this, almost everyone disagreed with, like, everybody in the list. Like, Fit Finley just didn't want to hate anybody except for the number one guy. And Sandman, he was just like, I don't have time for hate. I love him. He loved even loved Benoit. He's like, I ain't got time to hate him. Like, can't you at least hate Benoit, Sandman?
You can find a little time in your heart for that one.
Yeah. But New Jack was a highlight of this. New Jack.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of hatred in his heart.
New Jack and X-Pac, I think, were the highlights of the most despised.
Yeah, you gotta despise somebody pretty badly if you just grab their stuff and take a big shit in it.
Yes. And I will say this, too. I mean, I think by far, Kayfabe Commentaries puts out the best shoot interviews. And I like some of the content on these, but I do have to say their green screen is very poorly done, and it's distracting. I think they'd be better if they just did away with the green screen. It's not done well. But the other one they sent is the is Timeline the 60s of Bruno Sammartino, and it covers the whole 1960s. And this was great. I like the Timeline series. Usually I like this idea. You go through the whole thing. Usually it's 1 year. This time it was the entire 60s of the WWF. And you got to hear a lot of stories that you don't really hear about very often with, like, Toots Bont and like these old, you know, kind of mafioso, like, promoters, and got to hear a lot of stuff with him and Nature Boy Buddy Rogers. And it was a lot of old, you know, time stories. And I gotta say, Bruno looks pretty badass with his head shaved.
There you go. Mark Henry, you don't like Bruno, you do. But I think they're both pretty awesome with their head shaved.
My buddy Sandman here in the chat room, he says, always enjoyed New Jack, don't understand the hate for the man. I agree. I am a New Jack fan. And he usually makes sense.
Oh, I like New Jack. I don't think anybody's hating on New Jack here. I'm just saying, like, if you ask him about somebody that he doesn't like, he's not shy to share it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just totally let it all out.
Mm-hmm. Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, my predecessor. But I always find Bruno a very honest man. I did find it funny that his you know, get a lot of guys that they'd win a title, they'd go celebrate, go drink, go party. His celebration when he won the championship was he called his house, he called his wife back home. He went and bought a rotisserie chicken and a gallon of milk, went up to his hotel room and ate it and drank a gallon of milk.
There you go.
That was a celebration meal. That's what we should do, celebrate after in your head. You'll eat a whole chicken.
A whole rotisserie chicken.
Yeah. That's a lot. A whole gallon of milk and a whole chicken.
Yeah. I don't know about the milk. That would hurt my stomach, I'd say.
Yeah, I can't drink whole milk. I'll be puking everywhere. So you got this loaded up. And anyway, mm-hmm. I highly recommend the timeline Bruno Sammartino. The other one was fine. It's a fun listen and stuff, so if you want to check that one out as well. But I think Bruno one is a definite. Very good. All right. Cue it up, boy.
All right.
Rising up through NXT, paid my dues, won some matches. Monday Night Raw, all opponents I beat, just a man and his will to survive. Stuck on SmackDown, we all know it's a B-show. You lose your passion and glory. Don't lose your view on the main event spot. You must fight to keep the crowd alive. The series of survivors, the Thanksgiving tradition. Teams of five strive to survive. And the last known survivor beats his prey in the ring. And he's winning it all at series of the survivor. 5-on-5, out in the ring, getting popped, staying over. They stack the odds till we are down to 1. 1-on-5, a comeback to survive. The series of survivors, the Thanksgiving tradition, teams of 5, strive to survive. And the last known survivor beats his prey in the ring. And he's winning it all at series of the Survivor. Soul Survivor, hear the crowd pop. Made them tap, got the pinfalls. Got the big push, now I'm not gonna stop. Just a man and his will to survive. The series of survivors, the Thanksgiving tradition. Teams of five strive to survive. And the last known survivor beats his prey in the ring. And he's winning it all at series. Of the Survivor! Series of Survivors! Series of Survivors! The series of survivors.